If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Weed opens up your brain. It just, your cells works better. You eat better. You listen better. You do sex better. You work better. You design cut better. You massage better. You drive better. You are all together better.
The fact is, the chief ingredient in marijuana is THC, a mild form of acid, prolonged usage of which can cause adverse effects to your sexual potency, short-term memory loss, and can also severely damage your brain tissue, central nervous system, and basic motor skills. To put it simply, Mom and Dad, there's a reason that they call it dope.
I make average about $20 to $30.
And what do you use that $20 to $30 on?
Weed. The point I'm trying to make with all of this, people, is that I hate drugs. I hate them. And based upon what I have seen, you all don't quite hate them as much as I do.
That's paying attention, Mike. Good job.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Drugs?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I smoke a lot of pot.
Roll another one.
Hi. Are you high?
Just like the other one.
The best tonic is chronic.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
I don't think you guys know, man.
Roll.
Roll
another one.
I did smoke. I did inhale. And I ate brownie.
Just like the other one.
Wake and bake.
This one seems to be about.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
I don't have another cent.
You hot?
No.
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes and say that.
Well, don't bogart that joint.
We smoke too many pot.
Just pass it around.
I'm having trouble following this. I smoke a lot of pot.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend. Well, just pass it.
And now,
marijuana, marijuana, hey, 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 get high.
Our feature presentation.
Ah, people love to sing when they're high, don't they?
They do.
And they sound good.
They do, to themselves. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33. It's Friday the 17th of Foxtober.
Hi, Megan Fox.
Hey, baby, you looking hot tonight.
Could you be any sicker of hearing about Joe the freaking plumber?
Whose actual first name is Sam.
What?
Yes. And who isn't actually a plumber.
Who owes bad taxes and doesn't have a plumber's license and would get a tax cut in Barack Obama's plan. I found all that out this morning.
They've done the background check on Joe the plumber. For folks who haven't been paying attention, there's this guy who has become the most talked about man in America. And by the most talked about, I mean, for instance, during the presidential debate the other night, they mentioned him. The two candidates mentioned him 26 times. Yes. That's how much this guy has talked about.
Yeah.
It's almost like that swing vote movie from earlier this year with Kevin Costner, where there's one constituent out there that both candidates are trying to get to vote for him.
Yeah,
it's become a tug of war for Joe the plumber's vote.
And now he turns out bizarre to be a loser.
He's not even a plumber? You said he didn't have a license? Awesome.
He works for a plumbing company, right. I'm so sick of – that's all I've heard about. That's all that's been on the news for the past couple of days. I watched that Saturday Night Live Thursday thing. They did like a 15-minute sketch about Joe the plumber last night. I turn on my TV this morning. Literally, the first words that I see on the TV, it's on Channel 7 and the news is on. And they're announcing the results of a poll that they did with their listeners over who – excuse me, their viewers – over who their viewers think Joe the plumber is going to vote for.
Oh, dear God.
And 61% say Joe the plumber will be voting for Senator McCain. 39% say for Barack Obama. And I just can't – I can't figure out how something like this happens.
Because they got nothing else.
They got nothing else.
I mean, what more can you say about this damn election? There's just nothing.
on Jimmy Kimmel show last night. He kept going to Joe the Plumber live, and it was a dude under a sink and just huge butt crack. And Jimmy couldn't get his attention, so he said, "All right, we'll check in later." And then he couldn't get his attention. That's all. That was his interview.
That's very funny. That's a great example, though. That it doesn't matter what show you were watching last night. Somehow Joe the Plumber was talked about on it.
I'm guessing Joe the Plumber's really sorry he ever asked a question.
Probably, yeah.
He would not want this kind of scrutiny.
I mean, he seems like an okay guy in that he didn't set out to make this happen. It just, you know, the media kind of created the firestorm. And he's like, look, I'm not a celebrity. I'm just a guy. I just asked a guy a question. I didn't expect all of this to happen. And you guys are going to not remember my name in 2 days. So right. At least he's keeping it in perspective. I don't have anything against him, but it's just it's amazing how, I guess Lisa's right, so much has been said that if anything new comes along, you just grab onto it and try to make TV out of it because you've got 24 hours a day to fill.
But they know they were talking about Joe the Plumber, right?
They sure do. They sure do. It's actually funny on SNL, the John McCain on the SNL last night, Joe the Plumber was invisible and traveled with him everywhere. And John McCain got advice from him. It was pretty funny.
Oh, dear God.
And did you see the new Lil Bill? See the new video from Lil Bill?
No, Lil Bill O'Reilly?
Yes, he's back. Do we have time? It's a little less than a minute.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to warn people that if you're the type of listener who doesn't like to be yelled at first thing in the morning, if you're laying in bed right now and it will be jarring to you to hear a little kid scream, then you may want to turn this segment off. But Lil Bill is how old do you guys think?
Eight?
10?
Okay. You think he's about 8?
He's a little older, like 11.
11, 12? I don't know.
He speaks pretty well.
He does a great impression of Bill O'Reilly. That's all I know.
He does. Who's the big blowhard talk show host on Fox. And Lil Bill's wearing a suit. And he's got his hair poofed way up like he does. And this is very funny. It's on Funny or Die. And we'll put it up at KROQ.com too. But this is – they've edited Lil Bill in with Congressman Barney Frank, who had a shouting match with the real Bill O'Reilly last week. So here's what that sounds like. Again, there's some yelling, but it is for less than a minute.
It's a fact. I specifically said in the quote you just played that I didn't think it was a good investment. I wasn't telling you about the buy stock. I said it wasn't a good investment.
It's a fact. You look like a Muppet, and you sound like Barney Rubble.
You think toughness is yelling and ranting and trying to bully you? It's not going to work with me.
Stop being a coward. You coward. Admit it. Freddie and Fanny tanked because you were too busy hanging Tom Brady posters above your bed.
You can rant all you want. You're not going to shut me up.
Shut up. You're a Democrat. You're gay. You're Jewish. Mm-hmm. I got so many things to yell. My head's about to explode.
Yelling and stuff is very unbecoming from you.
Gay.
And you think about 1994?
Oh my God.
No.
And that's all for the factor. Good night.
There's no better argument to come back with than gay.
Wow. And screaming at the top of your lungs.
That's hilarious.
I watch the Bill O'Reilly show from time to time. I have not seen if he has addressed this at all. I'd love to know if what he thinks about it, if he's played any of it on his show, because he should have a sense of humor about it. It's pretty funny.
He should. What do you bet he never does?
Little Bill O'Reilly.
Because it's too close. That's awesome. That's the best. It's so true.
It is dangerously close to his real.
Yeah, he just outshouts everyone.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
All right. We are going to talk about the shortest marriages.
Oh, my God.
Chris Kattan got married and got divorced 2 months later.
Filed, yeah.
2 months.
Wow. Good times.
Those months. Wow. That doesn't seem like that's very long. You have to pretty much start fighting almost right away if you're going to split up, you know.
Probably before you ever got married, right?
I think you have to go into that marriage hating each other.
Yeah.
To do two month filing.
You are a murderer of love!
Wow. Tara Patrick on the program today?
Yes.
Talking about her new TV show, School of Sex, on Playboy TV.
Mm-hmm.
We have Seth Green in the studio today, talking about Sex Drive.
He's great.
Which looks awesome.
Yeah.
So wait, Sex School from Tara Patrick, Sex Drive from Seth Green.
That's correct.
Maybe we have a theme going here.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And Rob Corddry will be on the show today. He's starring in their new movie, W.
Yes.
And we have the movie beat. coming up this morning. Plus, Dick Cheney had some health problems. They had to pretty much restart his heart, which I think is good.
I'm glad to hear he has one.
So we'll get into that a little bit this morning as well. We'll take a quick break right now and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Good morning, Ralph Garman. How are you?
I'm good, Bean Baxter. How are you?
What's going on?
Oh, a lot of things. A lot of things are going on.
Why I will now whispering? Be known as Ralph the Plumber.
Oh, good.
Oh, here we go.
As much a plumber as he is.
My career needs a bit of an uptick, and I would appreciate the attention. So please refer to me as Ralph the Plumber.
Okay.
Big Michael Chiklis looking bastard.
The dude who owns JoeThePlumber.com is actually some plumber in Amarillo, Texas.
Really?
He's going, thank you, Lord.
I bet. Cha-ching for him. He probably has a license and everything. Probably owns his own wrench.
I have a feeling if Senator McCain wins that Joe the Plumber will be in the audience at the State of the Union address. I have a feeling this guy's not going away.
Did you see the charity event where Obama and McCain both appeared in New York City last night?
Yes.
I heard it was really funny.
Clips.
It's the Al E. Smith charity event they do every year, political charity dinner, and it raises money along with the Catholic Archdiocese there in New York City. Where they do, but they do this before every election, every 4 years, where they invite both candidates to the event, and it's a big fundraiser, and they both sit next to each other on this dais, and they get up and they do 15 minutes of comedy.
Comedy.
It's like
comedy.
A roast. Yeah, it is like a roast. And so CNN was showing it last night, and I'll tell you, they both were pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah, they got some pretty good writers. But McCain said, we're making some changes in my campaign. And the rumors are true. We've fired all my advisors, and now every position will be held by Joe the Plumber. So I thought that was pretty funny. But a lot of...
That's funny till he's Secretary of State.
That's right. Secretary of the Toilet. A lot of entertainment and politics crossing last night. Over there on Jay Leno, Joe Biden appeared, who, of course, is the Democratic vice presidential candidate. And Leno was asking him about the debate, and Biden said, I watched the debate when Barack was speaking. I switched to the Phillies when John was speaking. So that was his attempt at humor last night. And John McCain finally made it to the David Letterman show last night. This is after Letterman pretty much has been doing nothing but blasting him for canceling on him in the last minute when he went off to save the economy. At least that's what he told Dave, and ended up going doing the Katie Couric show. And Dave was clicking to the live feed with Katie Couric talking to John McCain, just furious that he would cancel on him and then go do Katie Couric's
show. How long ago was that?
About a month ago,
I guess. He's been just hammering him for a month.
So McCain finally appeared as a make-good on the Letterman show last night. Here's a little piece of it.
Can you stay?
Yes, sir.
Depends on how bad it gets.
What exactly happened? See, here, I thought I was doing my part to save the economy, and then later I got to think, maybe I'm just not important enough.
Can I give you an answer?
Please.
I screwed up.
At least he came clean.
Yeah.
Please don't hurt me anymore, Dave. That's what you're saying, basically.
I thought his, Senator McCain's presentation at that Al Smith dinner was so much better, so much more, he seemed so much more comfortable, more effective than Barack Obama, who really seemed out of his element trying to do comedy. Senator McCain seems like a funnier guy than Barack Obama, I think is what my point is.
Beans review. Hey, this Peter Cook, Christie Brinkley story just got interesting to me.
What's the story?
It's not done?
Oh, no, Lisa, it just got good. Peter Cook and Christie Brinkley famously married rich couple until she found out that he was banging an 18-year-old assistant that he had hired for his architectural firm.
Yes.
Peter Cook, by the way, good on you.
Yes. And by architectural firm, you mean penis.
Yes. And there was a big blow up, and she divorced him, and he lost a ton of money in the divorce settlement and stuff. And they said towards the end, when the trial was going on, at the last minute, these two private investigators show up. And they said, we've got some evidence that's going to blow this thing wide open. And suddenly, Peter Cook's side settled immediately, and the whole thing went away.
Really?
Well, in the New York Post today, we find that there is indeed some damning evidence of Christie's slimy husband, Peter Cook. It is, in fact, a sex video of Peter having sex with his curvy teenage office worker, Deanna Bianchi. Diana Bianchi.
Not wow. enough that he's having an affair with her. He's got to tape it.
Let's put it on film.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because he can't believe it either.
That could never hurt me.
From the New York Post, rumors of an explicit home video showing Peter Cook having sex with Diana Bianchi have been making the rounds for months. Now we can reveal it does exist. Yesterday we were shown a series of stills from the video depicting Cook and Bianchi both nude having sexual intercourse on a brown love seat.
Do you like teenage girls?
They also showed Diana performing a sizzling strip tease down to a pair of black G-string panties and then her birthday suit as Cook holds his crotch.
What?
I don't know what he was holding, but I can assume.
I gotta hang on to this. Get away from me.
Other scenes show Cook resting his head on Diana's butt. And there are apparently other videos.
Are they sure it wasn't just some
Diana
kind of work?
Posing like topless. Maybe they were working on a new building. Maybe he was trying to get a better perspective of how the office building would look by just resting his head on her butt, looking at the scale model.
It's a unique way to look at it.
Yeah, so... Now, I'm sure we're going to see this on the internet sometime soon.
Well, we can only hope. I heard, Ralph, tell me if this is mentioned in this story, that the way the video was shot makes it look like she was unaware that it was being filmed.
Even better.
Don't have that in this particular story.
Which makes him, if it's possible, even sleazier than he was before.
But then you have to wonder who's releasing it. She didn't know about it and didn't have it. Then it's not her. It can't be him. Who's
it
got
could
this?
Could be him.
I don't know how these private investigators for Christy Brinkley came across this, but this apparently was the video bombshell they were about to present in court before the whole thing went away. So somebody coughed it up.
Yep.
I like that he settled to keep it out of the news, and then they just brought it out anyway.
Yeah. So, we'll look for it on the internet. I'll let you know if I happen to spot that anytime soon. Here's more proof that Jack Nicholson just does it right. He's just the man. He's still the man. 71 years old and he's still the man.
Yeah.
In a recent interview, he said he has given up pursuing women in public, skirt chasing in public at like parties and public events and stuff. He said because it just doesn't look right for a 71-year-old man to be doing that. So he's smart enough to know he's not going to be the dirty old man in public. He's just not going to be that guy. However, Jack says he still gets plenty of attention. He said he is not undernourished when it comes to ladies. God bless Jack Nicholson.
Undernourished.
So he's getting all the same play, but he doesn't have to be that guy who goes, oh, look at that old fat old dude
pathetic.
Hitting on that 18-year-old. Yeah. That's just sad.
Yep. Yeah.
He's not that guy in public. He's that guy in private.
Is he famous enough that it doesn't matter how old he gets, there are still going to be 20-year-old girls who will have sex with him because it doesn't matter how old he is?
Well, look at Hugh Hefner.
Speaking of Hugh Hefner, Lisa, you segue me right to my next story. Holly Madison is speaking out of turn, perhaps, when it comes to a relationship with Hugh Hefner now that the whole thing's over. She said that she knew she'd had to end the relationship, saying that the only way she could have been happy with Hef is if it involved into something more traditional, she says. Dating Hugh Hefner!
Yeah.
You just went to that expecting to get married.
Get a cottage with a little white picket fence?
Yeah.
She also said she was devastated when she realized that she wasn't going to have children with the 82-year-old. Come on, how dumb is she?
What is wrong with this woman?
Yeah.
Wow. That's spectacular.
Is she still working for his company?
Yes. Yes, she is.
I guess she'll continue to do that, huh?
Hefner has entered into a more traditional relationship. He has traded his old girlfriend for two 19-year-old twins. And that's what most guys do.
Sure.
You know, not the twins part, but just ask Peter Cook. 18-year-old stripping for him. And speaking of relationships, as expected, I pretty much put the scare of God into Stuart Townsend when he was here in our studios.
You didn't. You said he was cool and you liked him. And
he was threatened by me. You could tell.
Not at all. I didn't think.
He seemed very friendly is what I saw.
He seemed very uncomfortable about my prior relationship with Charlize Theron.
You didn't have one.
He seemed very
He was
very
as confident as he could
that.
Be.
He's Apparently. Living with her, mm-hmm. and you've been to her movie. I mean, that's the extent of it.
No, you know, she's living with him physically, but where's her mind? That's what he has got to be thinking when he's with her.
With him, right?
Who is she thinking about when she's with me? That's what's going through
I sure
his
didn't
head.
See any of that. Lisa, did you see that?
Not
we all saw it.
We missed the subtext,
saw it.
I guess.
Didn't you see it, Psycho Mike?
I did.
See?
I did,
that's what I'm talking
back.
About.
Where's her mind? Manure. Where's her heart?
Apparently, Stuart and Charlize are finally making wedding plans, according to Life and Style Weekly. The magazine reports the couple's talking about a small ceremony at the end of this year. So in the next couple months or so, we may be getting a little announcement from Stuart and Charlize.
So you think in his panic, he's trying to seal the deal?
He said, look, look at this guy. I didn't realize what I was up against.
Right. I better get a ring on her finger.
I better solidify things at home just to make sure that everything stays on the up and up. I can't say that I blame him.
We won't get married until everyone can get married. That's out the window, right? That's gone.
Well, now that he and I finally met face to face, yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you, Bean.
Okay.
You listen.
All right.
And I hope you're not eating breakfast, because this will make you barf.
Uh-oh.
Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt have a new car they've been driving around in Los Angeles. I don't know if you've seen them recently.
It's really cheap, though, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They're currently tooling around in a Rolls-Royce Phantom.
This is stupid.
That's their new car. Folks over at TMZ.com did a little investigating and found out that it is theirs, and they paid $400,000 for the Phantom.
You know, they shouldn't be just lighting their money on fire, because this little gravy train may well come to an end.
Lisa,
how dare you?
Don't give them any ideas. Right. How else are we going to see them poverty-stricken and crack-riddled?
I pray for the day.
Oh, as do I. And I know Broadway is usually Lisa's beat.
Yes.
But I thought I'd bring this up because I may have found a Broadway show that even Kevin would want to attend.
Wow.
Wow.
South Park?
South Park the musical.
Will Ferrell will be making his Broadway debut in January in a new one-man show called You're Welcome, America, A Final Night with George W. Bush. He will be portraying George W. Bush in a one-man show.
That's awesome.
That'll be great.
Show begins previews on Inauguration Day, January the 20th. Will open in February and is written by Will and his partner over there at FunnyOrDie.com, as well as his director and many motion pictures, Adam McKay. Co-wrote Step Brothers, Talladega Nights, and Anchorman with Will. So, Will Ferrell is George W. Bush
that
in You're
awesome.
Welcome, America.
That's great.
That sounds amazing. So, I bet that's going to be a hard ticket to get.
Oh, yeah.
There is no substitute for Bush.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Mike Judge. Creator of Beavis and Butthead, of course, and the man behind King of the Hill. He is 46 years old today. Comedian Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, cracker.
Turns 45 years old today. Eminem. Whatever happened to good old Eminem? I mean, I know
he's working on something.
He's doing our show here across the board.
That's
from
not
us,
me, no.
New album, Relapse, is much talked about, but just today I saw a first little, supposedly a leaked track on What Would Tyler Durden Do? So.
Oh, well, there you go.
I have that clip if you guys want to hear what it's
about. Sure.
A little Eminem.
I was just surprised to see the directions.
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to fly with his fans.
No, he's really changed things up.
Still like baloney. Goddamn country music. Straight to hell. Eminem's 36 today, and Wyclef Jean of the Fugees is also 36 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We have Tara Patrick. We have Seth Green.
A lot of them. Yes, we do.
Yep.
Just so there's no misunderstanding, the bell was for Tara, not for Seth. Hey, Vice President Dick Cheney has been laying kind of low. I haven't seen much of him lately, and I guess there's not really that much for him to do. John McCain wouldn't want him to go out campaigning for him.
Oh, God, no.
What's he supposed to be doing? But he was back in the news this week. He had to cancel a campaign event because he had another problem with his heart. I guess he had an abnormal rhythm in his heart. Is that the story? Do I have that right?
Well, I have some news audio from that if you want to listen to it. Because
great, yes.
It cracks me up that the vice president of the United States, you know, we're talking all about, you know, oh, they're a breath away. He has been on the verge of death for years.
He really
for
has.
40 years.
I mean,
he's
just
been hanging on.
He could die any second, and this happened again over the weekend.
Cheney went to the hospital after suffering an abnormal heart rhythm Wednesday morning. The condition is called atrial fibrillation.
The upper chambers of the heart in him right now, rather than contracting regularly and effectively to move blood, are quivering, sort of like a bag of worms.
Cheney saw a White House doctor after experiencing a problem.
The vice president's going to be fine. I talked to him this morning. Thank you for asking.
The 67-year-old underwent a routine procedure to shock his heart back to a normal rhythm.
Well, the vast, vast majority of patients go in, get the procedure, and are back at work the very same afternoon.
This is the second time in less than a year that Cheney has had the same procedure. Cheney has had four heart attacks since he was 37 years old. In 2001, he had a special pacemaker implanted in his chest. After Wednesday's treatment, Cheney smiled and waved to cameras before he left the hospital.
Do you want your heart to be described as a bag of worms?
No, that was odd.
Is that what you're looking for?
No, he's not. Do we have the vice president on the phone?
We do, as a matter of fact. Mr. Vice President?
So?
We haven't said anything yet.
Didn't even say hello yet.
Yeah.
Mr. Cheney, would you be happier if we played your inspiring theme music first?
Yes, please.
Oh,
that's
yep.
usually how you guys...
That's what I was expecting as well.
I don't know much about your show, but I know that's how you usually introduce me.
See, I figured I'd say, do we have the vice president on the phone? Kevin said, yes, hit the big music, and then boom, there you are, comedy ensues.
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
You know, Bean, I thought I worked with an idiot.
I don't know that Dick Clark is... There you go, that's better.
Okay, sorry.
Hi, Mr. Vice President.
We can edit that out in post. Don't worry.
Kevin, you want to go hunting with me?
Nope. I don't. Whoa, you got your gun right there.
It just went off accidentally. I was making eggs.
So, Mr. Cheney, the news piece that we just heard, quadruple bypass surgery you've had.
Yeah.
You've had four heart attacks. You've had two artery-clearing angioplasties. You had a pacemaker installed in your chest. And just this week, you had to go to the hospital and get shocked to have your heart restore its normal rhythm.
Yeah.
How's that working out?
Turns out my heart is rejecting me.
It is. Your heart's giving you the middle finger.
The heart keeps trying to be good. And it's surrounded by me.
Yeah.
So oh, wow.
You're an evil host.
Yeah. But, hey, you want to listen?
Sure. With
to your heart?
Yeah, hold on. See? It's good now.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Sounds fine.
I have some tape, though, what it sounded like when I went to the hospital yesterday. Or the other day.
Okay.
Here's what they gave me at the hospital. They brought me home. This is the angiogram from my heart, the one I went in. That's what it sounded like.
It's not nearly as good.
No.
Wow.
Mr. Vice President, in these remaining few weeks of your term in office, do you and the President, you sit around and reflect on your legacy of the last 8 years?
Yep. I say, George, any ideas how we can get any more money out of this whole thing? He says, nope. I say, all right. I say, good luck, everybody. I kind of wave my hands like a blackjack dealer.
And walk out of the room?
I go get a massage from a 14-year-old Thai girl.
Where do you do that?
In the Oval Office.
Oh,
I say, George, can you step out for a minute? Me and Songhai have business to take care of.
Is that what's wrong with your heart?
Not anymore.
Perhaps? All right.
Here's another clip from the hospital, by the way.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't want your heart to sound like that.
I don't think so.
That's
bad.
That's bad. Now, we mentioned before we brought you on that you haven't been doing any campaigning for Senator McCain, who I'm sure you support and hope succeeds you guys in office there.
Whatever.
You don't care?
Not really. Unless I'm getting a kickback. There's not money in for me if McCain wins. Maverick bastard.
Have you been following? Do you have any thoughts at all about the way the campaign has been run?
I've been following a little bit. We got black, right? We got black in there.
Barack Obama.
Well, Senator Obama from Illinois, who I'm sure you know.
Some broad, right?
Right.
Yeah. Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin. Vice President.
There's a mummy.
Yes,
that's Senator McCain.
And one of the guys is a plumber, I think. I saw on the news.
That's not.
That's
Joe the plumber is Barack Obama's running mate. Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Good times. Whatever.
Boy, you really don't care.
I'll be in the Bahamas. I don't care.
You don't care about anything, huh?
I got a huge offshore fund.
Really?
I got massive bank accounts in Switzerland.
And where did all that come from
specifically?
I might
live in space.
That's
how much money I have. I could live in space if I wanted to.
How much of the $700 billion bailout did you get?
Oh, I took mine first.
You took yours first.
I took the $700 bill out, and then that's what they're filling it back in. So.
I see.
I'm looking at Venus right now.
To live?
Yeah. Mm. I got a nice... suburb.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah.
Want to hear some more of my heart?
Yes, please.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
Doesn't sound very regular.
I am. I'm thinking of doing some campaigning for Obama.
What?
Well, how would that work?
Well, maybe going on a hunting trip.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Introduce him to the wilderness.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Vice President, I don't know if we'll get the opportunity to talk to you again before you leave office, but it sure has been fun over these last few years.
So?
I'm not sure fun says it. I'm not positive that's the word.
I've always enjoyed talking to the Vice President.
Okay. All right. Mr. Vice President, best of luck living until you're out of office.
Best of luck living.
Yeah.
That's what you got for me.
Listen, you're on the verge.
You hear that, Omar? Best of luck living.
What? Omar's with you?
Yeah. He's my new assistant.
You have Omar as an assistant?
Yeah.
Wow.
He gives me the drugs to keep my heart going.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Fantastic.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
What was the name of that movie that you enjoyed so much with Saturday Night Live's Chris Kattan in it? Kevin, do you remember?
Nope, just remember that they tilt their heads sideways to that.
Was it Rocks?
Night at the Roxbury.
Night at the Roxbury.
Nicely done.
That's what it was. Chris Kattan from SNL is in the news this week. Check this out, you guys. He gets married to a model on June 28th of this year, okay? They've been dating for a couple of years. June 28th, they finally get married in Yosemite Valley. Will Ferrell is there, Charlie Sheen, Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy, wow. Brooke Shields, Jimmy Fallon, Parker Posey. I mean, it's a big deal. It's not like they met and over the weekend they decided to elope. I mean, this is something that they clearly had planned and were serious about. June 28th, okay? August 10th, which by my count is less than 2 months later, about 7 weeks later, they separate, file for divorce.
They were together for 2 years before?
Yes.
Because
together in 2005, actually. So together for almost three before they finally got married.
Because it seems like if a wedding falls apart that quickly, I mean, a marriage falls apart that quickly, mm-hmm. It does. I mean, you do have to pretty much count in some arguing time. So if it's 7 weeks, I mean, you got to know it 2 or 3, 4 weeks, they are at each other's throats going, I can't take this.
It had to start before the wedding.
I would think.
Unless, I totally agree with you, with the exception of if there was an incident that happened, somebody cheats on somebody or something like that, in which case it doesn't matter how great it's going up till that point, now you're out.
That's true.
Maybe something like, and I haven't heard that. I'm not suggesting that was the case here, but that's the only thing I can think. I mean, you can get divorced 4 days after and it's going great if you find out.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, well, this particular wedding lasted about seven and a half weeks. And that's funny considering, you know, they were standing up in front of everybody and they were doing their vows, how they were going to stay together for life, forever, in sickness and in health.
Shouldn't you have to send the presents back?
Seriously. I would totally think you should.
If you can't last a year, you don't deserve anything that people gave you.
I think that is the tradition.
Is it?
You do send it back if you break up within a year. Yeah. They they probably hadn't even unwrapped them all in this case.
They're
get back
wrapped
from the honeymoon and then start working on the divorce. You don't even have time to open your presents.
That is so sad.
It really is amazing that you can take that step of you know, dedicating yourself to another person for life and then you're out. You know, they gave it a run. They had a try.
We have that same conversation, by the way, whenever there's a celebrity like a Larry King or somebody who's getting married for the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th time.
Yep.
We always say, how do you stand up with a straight face and say, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, if you've already been divorced 7 times? How do you do it? But we started talking about this Chris Kattan thing, this 7-week marriage, and we thought, that's nothing compared to our K-Rock listeners.
That's true.
In years past, when we've talked about this, we've learned something about you. You people are quitters.
Yeah, that's true. And we're going to open the phones, 1-800-520-1067. We are going to take the shortest marriages. That's what we're looking for. You were married for the shortest amount of time. I think it also helps if you were together for a long time. That makes it even better.
That seems to be the case quite often. People are together 10 years.
They're together, they're happy, and then they decide to marry, and that somehow that ruins everything.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how it does. But let's start with Cindy in Anaheim Hills, who's already on the phone. Good morning, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi, Cindy.
You dated the dude for how long?
5 years. Almost 6, actually.
Almost 6 years.
Yep.
Then you got married.
You got it.
And
in 3 months, we decided to file for divorce.
3 months.
Yeah!
Okay. After 6 years.
Yeah.
Were you guys living together before you got married?
No, we weren't really living together. I mean, we did like weekends and that kind of stuff. And it really wasn't even the living situation. It was we realized we started out too young. We had kind of grown apart. And we're sitting up playing Monopoly one evening. And over a totally civil game, we kind of just looked up at one another and went, you know, this really isn't really working, is it? No, okay, well, we'll finish and talk about it in the morning.
What?
Like, are you as bored as I am?
Yeah. I'll buy a hotel. You should get separated.
Cindy, did you ever have those conversations at any time in the years leading up to the point where you got married?
No, you know, that was the weirdest part. We were great friends. We got along really well. It just seemed like there was something really important missing, and neither one of us could put our finger on it, but we knew it wasn't right.
I pass go. Give me $200. Let's get separated.
Isn't it funny that when you guys were just dating, the thing you thought was missing was the commitment of being married? And then once you got married, you realized, well, that wasn't it. There's still something missing. That's interesting.
That might have been it. I think, honestly, we just kind of grew in different directions. Like I said, we were really young when we were dating.
Right. But what we're saying is you didn't wait till you get married to start growing in different directions. That had to begin someplace in the 5 years.
Right, it did, but okay. We just realized it after the papers were signed.
Okay.
How about that? So did it stay civil like it started out and you guys ended up separating and everything was friendly?
Yeah, everything's great. That was like about 14 years ago, and he's remarried. He's got 3 kids. I'm remarried. I mean, I've seen him a couple of times. It's totally civil.
And by seeing him, you mean?
Seeing him is what she means, Kevin. Oh. Well, good for you. Cindy, right. Thanks for the call. 3 months, then. That's the time on the table right now for the K-Rock listeners.
Right. There's two numbers that matter. 5 years together, 3 months.
Right.
So you got to beat that at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about Chris Kattan, who was, of course, on Saturday Night Live for a while. Night at the Roxbury.
Yes.
He married Sunshine Tough.
It took longer to make Night at the Roxbury, the movie, than he was married to his wife, Tut Sunshine. Or Sunshine Tut, whatever it was.
Like it matters. And last break, we talked to Cindy from Anaheim Hills. They were together 5 years, divorced after 3 months.
Wow.
So, come on, people. We can beat that. Come on.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Let's try Wade in Glendale.
Glendale.
He's on line 8 this morning. Good morning, Wade. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's your story?
Morning, guys. I dated, I asked her to marry me on our 1 year. We planned a wedding for about a year later. About 8 months into the planning of the wedding, all I can say is she went crazy, you know, just stressed out over X, Y, Z. She needs space. Everything's falling apart at this point. We got together after a little bit of time, whatever that was, had dinner talking about what our problems were, what we needed to do. We decided, hey, we can solve all of this. By getting married just right now, we'll run away, elope. We were actually living in Vegas, so we literally ran down the street, got married.
Well,
and
one thing we've learned from doing this show is that the only thing that solves more problems in a relationship than marriage is having a baby.
So you were together how long, and then you were married how long?
About married 3 days.
You were together 20 months, married for 3 days.
Well, what happened?
Seriously, all I could call it is she went crazy. She's stressed out about the wedding, stressed about work.
Right,
but then you got married and you didn't have to have that stress anymore.
Yeah, that really didn't work out.
Wow.
I think it was probably you, but thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Rich in Temecula. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin and Bean?
Good, thanks.
Hi, Rich.
What do you got, man?
I was with this girl for 5 years. Mm-hmm. We were best friends. We did everything together. Everything was great. She got a job at a satellite company.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy seemed kind of sneaky, and I was trying to warn her, hey, this guy's kind of weird. And one night she called me from the office crying, saying that he tried to attack her or kind of rape her. He was drunk. And I went and picked her up, and 2 weeks later she was pregnant.
Wow.
And to this day, to be honest with you, I really don't know for sure the kid is mine, but I accepted it as mine, and I said, you know what, whatever, and I thought everything would be better if I married her.
That is always the case.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I did, and we hated each other and broke up 30 days later with an annulment.
Oh, my God.
5 years together, 30 days.
Yep.
That's bizarre.
Every word she would say, I couldn't believe. You know what I mean? I couldn't believe her. I couldn't trust her. I didn't know. And it just turned into total hatred. But to be honest with you, it was the Lord's blessing because she's the most obnoxious, loudmouth, gold-digging person you've ever met in your life now.
and I'm sure your kid appreciates you hearing that. Hearing you say that about his mom.
Yeah, that's the sad part. He knows.
Yeah.
So.
All right. 5 years, 30 days. Thank you.
It's pretty sweet.
Let's see here. Let's go to Christian in Torrance. Christian, good morning.
Hey, PPZ guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Christian.
Okay, well, I was with this girl for 8 years. We loved each other, got married, and divorced 2 months later.
8 years?
Dude. Yep.
There must have been a lot of marriage, marriage talk from the family or the friends. You've been together 8 years. Why don't you just get married?
Well, we were 8 years, decided to get married. Like I said, I filed 2 months later. Yeah. I didn't ask for a prenup. I had a lot to lose. I didn't care. Only thing I said is, A, let me keep riding once a weekend because I race motorcycles and ride every weekend.
Right.
Just one day a week. And B, don't make me sell my cars because I collect cars. I have about five.
Right.
As soon as we signed that piece of paper, it was just like a 180. She's like, I really think you should sell a car because I want to park in the garage. And come on, I'm not going to move a car in my four-car garage. You know? And then she asked me to, she wanted to move. And it's a complete 180. Everything changed. She was spending too much time riding my motorcycles, which was, you know, one day a week. Not a lot. The rest was
reserved. It sounds like what happened is she felt like she was entitled to have you change things because now she's your wife rather than just your girlfriend. So she kind of earned the right to call the shots a little bit.
It's exactly what she did. But going into it, I said, look, I love you. I will marry you.
Yeah, you know what she heard? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm going to marry him. I'll change him.
So I told her, I go, hey, you're totally doing what you said you wouldn't. I'm going to go file for divorce. And she said, is that what you want to do? I go, no, but it sounds like that's what you want to do is try to change me. And she called me an a-hole. And I said, well, you know, guys don't change. I'm just asking for you not to change.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm.
By the way, thank you for the call, Christian. I just decided that if I were a marriage counselor, I would hang myself. Can you imagine if your job every day was to go into your office and listen to stories like this from people?
No, I couldn't.
No, and then try to figure out what's really going on. It would be impossible.
It would be horrible.
Yeah.
We were talking about during the song, by the way, talk about being married forever and then break up almost immediately. The Oscar-winning actress Helen Hunt, very talented, and Hank Azaria, another terrific actor, they were one of those couples that was together for like 10 years or more. And every single time they were out in public and the reporters had them in front of a microphone, they would say, hey, when are you guys getting married? When are you going to make an honest woman out of it? Hey, when are you guys getting married? Hey, you guys have been together a long time. Hey, how come you guys aren't married?
Yeah.
So they finally did break down and get married. And I think it was less than a year later they'd broken up.
It was less than a year.
It seemed like they were rock solid. They were one of those like couples that everybody looked at as how great it was that they were so happy together. And marriage broke them.
Yeah, it does that sometimes. Let's go to Mike in Boyle Heights. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Mike?
You were together for how long, Mike?
Dude, check this out, boys. Me and my ex-wife were together for close to 8 years. We were together about 7.5 years. Seven and a half years, man. Everything was nice and peachy, you know, the first five. And, you know, we were madly in love and everything. And, 2 years, the last 2 years were kind of rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once we got engaged and everything and, you know, setting up for the wedding, you know, there was a lot of stress, a lot of, you know, oh, I don't want this, I don't want that, and a whole bunch of drama, dude. But
right. Anyways,
we got married July 26th, and that following Sunday, that immediate following Sunday, I decided to go hang out with the boys, you know, go have a couple beers, we're going to go to the Dove show, all this stuff.
Right.
And I ended up home, you know, I ended up getting home a little tipsy, kind of drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she decides, you know, to not let me in the house. And, you know, stuff was said. And she ended up kicking me out, man, a week later. And to this, we have not gotten together. It's been almost 3 months that we've been separated.
Oh, my God.
So, wait, let me recap. 7.5 years together, married a week, kicked out of the house, haven't gone back. Have you guys filed any paperwork yet?
Actually, man, our marriage license that marriage permit was never sent into the county. So
so you're not legally married?
Yeah, so it's like the marriage never happened because we actually never sent in.
I wish I'd have thought of that. God damn, do I wish I'd have thought about sending in the paperwork. That's so smart, Mike. Well done.
If you guys ain't sure about it, man, just don't send in the paperwork, dude. And it's like if it never happened, bro.
That's right. A good tip. As long as you're happy, it doesn't matter. And then?
Right.
That's right. You don't ever have to bring it up. That could be your little secret for when the things get bad. You can go, oh, yeah, well, guess what? We're not married and you don't have a place to live. It was only the greatest comeback in 79 years of postseason baseball last night, the Red Sox game, by the way.
I was forced to watch it.
Forced?
Someone
have a gun at your house?
We're playing poker, and a bunch of the guys wanted to watch it, and it was amazing. If all games were like that, I would be in.
Did you play poker with a bunch of gay guys?
No.
Oh.
We'll talk about that at a preview of this weekend's NFL season with our former sports guy, Matt Money Smith, coming up after the top of the hour at 7. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
Amy Winehouse has finally figured out who to blame for her spiral into the gutter. Apparently, one insider tells a British newspaper that Amy had a major meltdown while she was at a recording studio recently and started screaming that Satan was giving her drugs. Now we know.
Wow.
Now we know who to blame. Satan.
Okay. Satan is...
He is such a bastard that way.
Oh, I hate him.
I wish Satan would give me drugs. What did I do wrong? I didn't say he doesn't want to visit my house.
He doesn't even charge it?
Apparently not.
He just gives them
to her?
He
just gives them away.
Wow.
It's like Omar in that way. Satan gave her drugs. He was either Satan or Santa.
Can't tell.
Can't really be sure. Yeah. Then she went on to try and play her guitar, but apparently it was so loaded she couldn't do it. So she grabbed the guitar and smashed it to pieces. A $5,000 guitar she smashed in the recording studio.
Yeah, it's its fault that she couldn't play it.
Maybe Satan will give her a new guitar. Apparently he's in a very giving mood these days.
Yes.
Maybe somebody should not let her spend time working on music and concerts and instead put her into rehab.
No.
I don't think you can do that without her okay, pretty much.
They asked her to go to rehab. You know what she said? No. That's what she said.
She got that right from Satan, too, by the way.
Speaking of satanic music, the University of Illinois has discovered that the beat of the Bee Gees' Staying Alive is the perfect rhythm to follow while giving CPR to a heart attack victim.
Oh, no kidding.
You mean you pump their heart?
The beat of Staying Alive is the perfect rhythm to give CPR to.
Well, that's good. And keep that in mind.
Stay alive, stay alive. That rhythm.
Who's doing that research?
The University of Illinois.
Why?
Because they wanted to pick a song that was the perfect CPR song.
Yeah, what if you're teaching a class and then you play
that
song?
But what if someone goes...
Lisa has exactly the point I was trying to make.
But I'm saying, what if someone goes down and you don't have that song?
Just have it in your head.
You have one in your head.
That's all. Just think staying alive, and that's how you should give the rhythm of the CPR.
I think that's brilliant.
Doctors warn, however, do not sing the song Staying Alive while giving CPR, because the victim, as they... come around, will want to die when they realize you're singing Bee Gees, and they will ask you to just let them sleep forever.
Okay.
For some of our younger listeners who are not familiar with the Bee Gees song, I do have a clip of it, Ralph.
Sure.
I'd like to hear
sure.
it.
But I still like bologna
on white bread. Now that doesn't sound like much of a beat, really.
That's not staying alive. Down a country road.
I'm sorry, I got the wrong... Wrong tape here. Yeah, sorry.
If you do CPR to that, the guy's dead.
Yeah.
Another TV series is being made into a porn movie spoof. I can't get enough of these. I guess it all started with Not the Brady's. Remember that one? Mm-hmm. They had it was the Brady Bunch porn version.
Sure.
And then they did a Not Bewitched. I know they did that.
They did Not the Munsters.
Yeah, I've just got that one in the
Gilligan's Island, they did.
I don't know if I want to see Herman Munster banging Lily, quite frankly.
How long do you think they're going to hang with the Not part?
Until the lawyers tell them otherwise.
Yeah. That's kind of dumb.
Well, it's one way to get around legal issues while still using the title in the title of the...
Is this an old series?
It's brilliant. Of course, they're all old classic TV series is what they're doing. They did Gilligan's Island.
Mm-hmm.
The latest one has just been announced... it's a spoof of Facts of Life. Called The Dirty Facts of Life.
Yes.
It's got to be a lesbian, right?
Those of you who remember, the original show was about a group of girls attending a boarding school.
Yes.
With Mrs. Garrett as their mentor and house mother. So apparently the four girls will be under the watchful eye of Mrs. Garrett in this as well.
Will Clooney be in it?
I don't think Clooney's going to make a guest appearance in this. Apparently, the girls at the school will be under their lesbian house mother, Mrs. Garris.
Oh, geez.
And they will have lots of lesbian sex. I'm only watching.
It's time to face the hole.
I'm only watching if they include Jerry, the retarded cousin of Blair, who used to wheel around in a wheelchair doing stand-up comedy. That's who I want in the movie. If Blair's cousin Jerry isn't in there, then I'm not watching The Dirty Facts of Life.
Blair! I am a lesbian too. Someone help me open my legs.
Oh, wow.
Come on, Blair.
All three of you fill the same hole. Congratulations.
All right,
Easy, easy.
Lisa Welch on that show. Remember her? She was Blair. She
yeah.
was hot.
Oh yeah, she was hot.
Yeah,
but she's in the same boat as what's his name, Mike Siever, the guy.
Super Christian,
oh yeah, she
right?
is way like, uber.
Is she married
way,
to a
way holy roller now. She's like, got like a holy roller website and everything, and she's pushing Bibles yeah. and whatnot.
It was a big deal back in the day because they wanted to write in the script that she got banged on the show.
Oh,
she
that's
wouldn't
right.
do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
it ended up being the fatty.
Right. Fatty lost her virginity instead of Blair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked at her website recently. I don't know why I did, but she looks smoking hot, too, Lisa Welch. She's in her 40s now, but just looks amazing.
Really. God likes her.
God does like her. What can he say?
It was almost instinctive the way the guys jumped at each other.
All right.
All right.
Come on. Dirtiest show on television.
It is.
A lot of politics and entertainment. Last night, John McCain finally made it to the David Letterman show. This is after he canceled on Dave when he postponed his campaign to go to Washington to work on saving the economy. And Dave found out that he didn't really go to Washington so much as he went to Katie Couric's office and did an interview with her in the studio at CBS News. And Dave has not forgiven him and has not let up, really, for the past month.
That's pretty funny, actually.
And it was interesting because Dave loves John McCain. John McCain has been a guest a dozen times or so on Letterman. And Dave had never said anything but great things about him up to that point. But it really ticked him off.
He felt slighted. And so he was on the show last night, finally did a makeup show. And you could tell McCain was nervous that Dave was going to give it to him.
Can you stay?
Yes, sir.
Depends on how bad it gets.
What exactly happened? See, here, I thought I was doing my part to save the economy. And then later I get to think, maybe I'm just not important enough.
Can I give you an answer?
Please.
I screwed up.
Don't hurt me.
Yeah.
Speaking of television and entertainment and politics, Larry King broke the news last night that Sarah Palin will indeed be appearing on this weekend's edition of Saturday Night Live. He broke that news last night.
But it's Larry King, so who knows if it's true.
Well, CNN usually is pretty reliable when it comes to their facts. He had Bill Maher on last night talking about his movie. Religious.
Could he say it?
No. That was the best part. We got to go find something. Maybe we taped it here. We got to find some day. He kept calling it religiousless.
Awesome.
It was amazing.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
And Bill Maher kept saying, it's religious. That is what I said. It's a weird title. It's hard to say. It was great.
I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Bill Maher's new movie, Religiousless. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wyclef Jean of the Fugees is 36 years old today. Norm MacDonald turns 45. Mike Judge, who gave us Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill, is 46. And Eminem turns 36 years old today. And we were just asking earlier, what's up with Eminem? We haven't heard from him in a while. Apparently he's got a new CD in the works. And one of the tracks has been leaked on the internet. You can find this all over the place, but you can find it right here now. We're going to play a little taste of the new Eminem.
And there goes one more coma due to blood force trauma. Just give me one more soma, and I'll be done for, mama. Go in the damn broom closet, another volume lost it. Shove in the vacuum nozzle, down the bathroom faucet. It seems like every day I get a little flakier. The medication is making my hands a little shakier. Hand me that 18-month-old baby to shake him up. It'll only take me a second to choke his trachea.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
A little Jamaican flavor there for Eminem.
I like
it's
it.
Weird.
He's Eminem man now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Former sports guy Matt Money Smith. You can hear him afternoons with our friend Petrus over there on the AM 570. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
We are good.
What's so damn funny?
I was just taking care of some business with one of the daughters that needed a little help in the bathroom, and I was like, you know.
has your life changed?
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing, Money? Well, I'm wiping my daughter. Oh.
I wish Ralph hadn't asked any kind of a follow-up question to the laughter there. Listen.
Else, I'm honest.
Yeah.
I know that Ralph is going to yell that I'm going to bite into your valuable NFL time for 60 seconds of baseball, but I do have to ask, Money, because you're plugged in and you know what's going on. What are the chances on a scale of 1 to 10 that Manny Ramirez is going to be a Dodger next year?
Well, I will tell you, we had Scott Boras on yesterday, and while he continually said, yes, he is the super agent, the man everybody loves to hate, but I appreciate because I cannot figure out how he continually pulls these deals out of his ass for his players. But he wouldn't give us details. I'm not going to discuss specifics or terms, but he referred to three different contracts when it came to Manny Ramirez. One, Alex Rodriguez, who got a 10-year deal and will take him through the age of 42. Two, Barry Bonds, who, of course, had a contract that took him through 44.
Wow.
And the third he related to, he didn't quite give us a name, but he was talking about players that were superstars that can carry teams and have played well into their late 30s, early 40s. So that leads me to believe he is looking for almost the exact same contract that Manny just finished, which is 6 or 7 years at $20 to $25 million a season.
Damn.
Manny, you know, Manny just finished one of the most remarkable postseasons you will ever witness from a hitter. I mean, the guy hit close to 600.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it was a, if the Dodgers had made the World Series, you would have heard more about it. But, you know, Manny did everything he needed to do to get
Certainly.
As big a deal as possible.
Okay, here's my question then. The way he has been embraced by Los Angeles, I mean, overnight he became one of the biggest sports stars in the city. People started dressing like him, the jersey sales through the roof, the chants, the cheers. They love this guy so much. He claimed he really wanted to play in Los Angeles, but now all he'll say is not, hey, I'd love to come back. I love the Dodgers. Hey, I want to play for the Dodgers. He says, I want to play for whoever's going to pay me the most money. I mean, what's that about?
That is, sounds like a Scott Boras client. You know, there's a reason why he switched agents. And there are some that speculate the reason why Manny fell out of favor, well, didn't fall out of favor, but started acting the way he did and forced his way out of Boston is, you know, they could have kept him for two more seasons. Those were team options that they just exercise and he stays in Boston. Scott Boras doesn't make 1 cent off of those options. And that's why they figure he did what he did so he could get out and get a new deal and get a longer deal and Scott Boras can get paid. So, I think Manny realizes this is his last contract, and if it's 3 years, it's going to take him to 38. He's probably going to get another one. If it's 7 years, it's going to take him to 42, and you're talking about an extra $100 million. So yeah.
I'm going to suggest that you guys have abused your 60 seconds.
Yes, I think
okay.
so.
All right, we'll move on, but it's going to be a fascinating
offseason.
You're
talking about next season already in baseball.
People care about what Manny's going to do right now,
well,
Ralph, all right?
Guess what? Well, I wonder if we'll have any time to talk about it between now and the start of next year's baseball season.
Ralph, I turn the mic over to you to discuss
God
this weekend's NFL
you.
Schedule.
Football is this weekend.
That is true. That's a little more close.
Matt, let's...
You want me to get into USC Washington State and whether or not they'll win by 100 points? That's
another given. I think we can move on. Let's talk about some games that the outcome of are still suspect.
Yes. That's the East, I suppose, is where we want to focus.
Well... Like we could start sure. there, sure. I mean, the Eagles have the bye week. You got Dallas playing St. Louis in St. Louis. What's the story on Romo's pinky? I heard he wants to go, in spite of the fact he's got a broken pinky on his throwing hand.
He wants to go. The reason why I think he may not go, Ralph, is because for some reason, and Jason Garrett, who is the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, and he's supposed to be some sort of wonder guy, and this kid genius who's running their offense, has come under fire because, of course, they've lost a couple games, and he's been throwing the ball too much. They have one of the best running, one of the most punishing running backs in all of football, in Marion Barber.
Right.
And they have not given him the opportunity to shine as much as they should. So I think if, in fact, there is any doubt about Romo, it will give, to some degree, Wade Phillips without, you know, the wresting control away from Garrett forcibly. You know, it will give him the opportunity to say, look, let's just run the ball. It's St. Louis. They suck. We can give Romo a week off, and maybe that will shift, you know, Garrett's philosophy to where it should be with the Cowboys, which is, you know, shut up, T.O. Be quiet. Roy Williams just got traded there. We have a great running back tandem and a giant offensive line, and that's how you win football games. So I think you very well could see Romo sit, not maybe because he can't play, but because they need to shift the philosophy a little bit on their offense.
They win either way, right?
They win either way, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, although St. Louis did
one last week. It was a bit of a fluke, and I think they caught the Skins by surprise. And, yeah, there's no way that the Cowboys lose that game.
Although St. Louis did look better under Haslett, their new coach, than they have all season long. So.
They did, and that's the danger. You know, you bring in one of these big dudes to run one of your, you know, to coordinate one side of the ball, and if things go bad, he ends up taking your job. And there's no doubt. I think there is some sort of lift, too. There's an emotional lift with the team. Bulger gets back and, you know, is installed again, and Haslett says, you know, this is embarrassing, et cetera, et cetera, and they have that emotional high for 1 week that typically leaves the following week. Of course, that didn't work for the Raiders. They kind of
yes.
said, hey, F you, cable. We're not interested in playing for you. Watch us lay down against the Saints. So, and they have an interesting game this week, too, because they're playing Brett Favre in Oakland.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of hard to get a read on the Jets. You know, people want to say, they so desperately want to celebrate Brett Favre. And he's played great. He really has. He has had a great season. But it's kind of hard to figure out what the Jets are. And it's also hard to figure out what the Raiders are, because they really did play pretty well under Lane Kiffin. They, you know, of course, they blew a few fourth quarter leads, and that was kind of their trademark last year. Is, you know, I think you went through the stats last year, and they had leads in nine different games in the fourth quarter that they lost. And when you're only winning four games, it's just kind of, you know, that leads you to believe the Raiders have talent, they've got good players, they've got a good defense, but they just don't know how to win. And I don't know if a guy who was introduced as their new head coach when they fired Lane Kiffin by Al Davis says, hey, can you introduce this guy? Because I don't have the slightest idea who he is.
Right.
That's the truth. That is the audio that you heard in that press conference. It's not necessarily a guy who can teach them how to win football games.
Another team that's struggling to find its identity, San Diego, faces a real good Buffalo team this weekend, Money.
Yeah, Buffalo has been quite the surprise just because they're in Buffalo. I think a lot of people saw this beginning to happen there. You know, they have a good quarterback who, you know, just got his head beat in when he was at Stanford. I think he was sacked like 95 times while he was there. And now that he has a good offensive line, a great running game, another Pac-10 dude in Marshawn Lynch, and a great wide receiver in Lee Evans, you know, you always talk about the big three in Dallas, and you want to see that big three to become a good offense, good wide receiver, good running back, good quarterback. They have all of that. And Buffalo's a very hard place to play, but we were talking, I can't remember who we were talking to, Dennis Green we were talking to, and he brought up a good point. He said, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson is still one of the best running backs in the NFL, but sure, what you're seeing with the Chargers and why they have had some growing pains is that this is becoming a Phillip Rivers team now. You know, it's becoming more of a passing offense. The victories are now resting on his shoulders more than LaDainian, and that takes a minute to watch that shift. It's, you know, he's still great running back, but he's got a lot of miles. And we know, you know, when you look at the average lifespan of a running back in the NFL is like 2 weeks. I mean, it's actually about 2 years. You know, that's going to take a minute for that offense to make that shift, and I think maybe it has now, and you saw that against the Patriots where Rivers just lit them up.
Speaking of the Patriots, they play a real good Denver team on Monday night in New England. Can this team win without Tom Brady?
That's a tough one to figure out because, you know, you look at the personnel and you'd think that if they can play that old defense wins and manage the game, you know, kind of offense, that they should be all right. But, you know, Matt Castle has gone from looking average to bad to average again to bad again. And I think the problem is just consistency, you know. And Belichick, you know, remember when Brady was there, Belichick has had some good running backs in that system. Corey Dillon ran well for him. Lawrence Maroney was really good last year, but for some reason he likes to throw the ball a lot. That is just the offense that he is most comfortable with. And when you look at all the super, I mean, think about all the Super Bowls that New England has won, and when you look at their running backs, they have nobody.
Yeah.
You know, they have really no names, and I think that's just kind of indicative of the situation they're in, is if you've got an offense that relies on the pass that much, I think you change, you know, you're changing what the team knows best when you decide to start pounding the ball, and they're just not used to doing that, and that's leading to a lot of confusion from receivers. They were on such a good rapport with Tom Brady. They knew where to be, where the ball was going to be, and that has completely changed, and I think that is probably turned the Patriots into an 8-8 team.
That's the problem with Castle, I think, is they're putting a lot of pressure on him to play Brady's offense, and he can't read the Ds like Brady did, and he's not on the same page with the receivers, so they're just not going to have success that way.
But, yeah, I mean, when a guy, like, we know Matt Castle, he's a really nice dude, he's a local kid, but yeah, there's a reason why, you know, at USC he was passed over three different times,
yeah,
you know, for other guys. And granted, those were good quarterbacks in Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart, but, you know, when you don't play a snap in college football, I don't know what people can expect on the next level when every single team, no matter their record, is really, really good.
Yeah. New England's coach, though, Belichick, is unhappy when they win. It's so great to see when they lose. I mean,
he's a giant douchebag.
It's been a lot of fun watching him suffer.
Just love that. I love to see that guy just be miserable.
And Denver's offense is just so explosive. I don't think the D can handle him either from New England.
Well, you know, the funny thing about Denver is, and not enough people, I think, are talking about it, is there was a big debate. This is one of those quarterback drafts where teams had to figure out which one they liked best. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but it seemed like everyone I watched or we talked to said Jay Cutler's the guy.
Yeah.
This guy guy has got an arm. He's got the head. He has everything you could ever ask in an NFL quarterback. But people were transfixed by that game at the Rose Bowl between Vince Young and Matt Leinart. And, you know, Vince goes third. Matt goes 10th. Cutler goes 16th. And now it's not even close. I mean, you know, Matt Leinart's career could be over. You know, I mean, Kurt Warner is the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. Who knows what's going to happen with Leinart? Vince Young, I mean, we've heard stories about Vince Young that this dude used to roll into offices crying. And I just can't figure out this offense. I mean, are you kidding? Yeah, and Cutler is you know, in that collection of names where you talk about guys that are now taking over for, you know, I hate to say it, Ralph, but, you know, look, Donovan McNabb is phasing.
He's aging.
Is moving out, and now you're talking about Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers, and I think Cutler is in that conversation as well, and Tony Romo.
We are just about out of time. This is Matt Money-Smith on the phone, of course, weekday afternoons, AM 570 with our friend Petros. I just have to ask, since we haven't spoken with you since it happened, the last 11 seconds of last weekend's Bears game, was it one of the worst things that ever happened to you in your whole life, Money?
You know what? It should have been, but because they played so terrible and had no business winning that game, it was kind of like one of the, I guess the football justice was done, you know, even though they had that remarkable final drive and got that touchdown. I don't know. I guess it was just kind of cool to watch. And yes, I was screaming and I wanted to rip the TV off the wall. Bracket coverage with 11 seconds left. You know, I'm freaking out, pretending like I know what defense they should have been running.
Sure. Yeah.
it was a fun game to watch.
Well, at least you got the Cubs.
Till the end.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hey, wait a minute.
All right, Matt. Listen, you can go ahead and flush now. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks.
Speaking of movies, Ralph's here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Let's talk about some of the new movies in the Southland Cineplexes this weekend, starting off with Sex Drive.
Boy, this looks funny. A story of a high school senior who borrows his brother's beloved 69 GTO to make a road trip from Chicago to Knoxville just in order to get laid from a girl he met online. Oh, how I remember the days when I'd go to that length just to get some poon.
I've been there.
You've
never been there.
I've driven across several states to meet a chick on the internet.
That's
Come
true.
On, who hasn't?
Has. Remember he drove all that way to that girl who he was supposed to have a date with some girl. He drove to like Erie, Pennsylvania or something.
She stood him up.
And she wasn't there.
Yes,
she stood him up.
Wow. I did tell you that story. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that was great. Anyway, this looks very funny. It gives sort of a Superbad vibe off it, you know, sort of a funny teen sex comedy, which I just can't get enough of. Great cast, including Josh Zuckerman in the lead, Clark Duke, who you may have seen teamed up with Michael Cera on their internet show, which is always very funny. James Marsden is the brother. Seth Green plays an Amish mechanic, as far as I can tell from the trailer, which is a funny idea. Here's a little scene from Sex Drive where James Marsden, playing Ian, Josh Zuckerman's older brother, is tormenting him as he gives him a ride in that sweet 69 GTO.
I'm going to ask you a question. I want a straight answer. You queer?
What?
You're 18 and you've never had a girlfriend. That's how people wind up getting gay, you know?
I don't think that's really how it happens.
Is that not how it happens? Tell me how it happens, expert.
There is a girl that I've been kind of...
All right, I'm listening. Where'd you meet her?
Online.
What? Ian, don't you watch Dateline? She's probably a guy.
You never know what you're going to get online.
You're going to get Chris Hansen is what you're going to get.
Yeah. Let's also take a look at The Secret Life of Bees.
I read the book.
Oh, Lisa, stop it.
This looks months. Like a good movie,
oh,
Ralph.
Oh, everyone,
it looks
stop
like
it.
A good movie.
It was a wonderful book.
I've not heard of the book it. Or the movie.
This is about a young woman who flees her abusive household and starts living with some black chick.
Where do the bees come in?
Queen
Latifah's character is a beekeeper.
Yeah, the beekeeper. And so and together they all learn a very important lesson by watching bees and sharing love.
Yeah, that's about it.
Queen Latifah, Jennifer Hudson, and Dakota Fanning star in this movie. Yeah, I know. The concession stand will be selling tampons.
I'll be there.
Only.
And for Bean.
Yeah. Or did Dakota Fanning get anything off the craft services, or was it just poured up by Batty Pat?
She almost starved making this movie. Queen Latifah and Jennifer Hudson actually took a bite out of Dakota Fanning at one point.
Oh, that's sad.
It is sad, yeah. Here's a little scene where Queen Latifah is teaching Dakota Fanning beekeeping etiquette.
You need to know bee yard etiquette.
Bee yard etiquette?
The world's really just one big bee yard. The same rules work in both places. Don't be afraid, as no life-loving bee wants to sting you. But don't be an idiot. That's why we wear long sleeves and long pants. And don't swat. Don't even think about swatting. And above all, send the bees love. Every little thing wants to be loved.
See?
Come on.
It's a metaphor for life.
Everything I ever needed to learn, I learned from bees.
Come on, Bean. You can't possibly
first of all,
think that looks good.
I love bees. You know I wanted to be a beekeeper.
And
you know that.
And yet...
And Alicia Keys is in this movie, too, who I'm desperately in love with. And yet, I think I might go. I think I might go.
F*** you.
Yeah.
I'll go with you, Bean.
Wow. Lisa, you and me, baby. Yep. You and me.
You got it.
What just happened?
Wow.
I don't mean just what happened, what Bean said. There's actually a movie called What Just Happened.
There is.
Coming out this weekend. Robert De Niro stars as a movie producer who's really in the twilight of his career, desperate to get his new motion picture made. This looks very funny. De Niro stars as the producer. Appearances from Bruce Willis and Sean Penn as themselves in this movie, playing the actors who are going to participate in De Niro's film. I think De Niro doesn't do nearly enough comedy. I think he's so funny.
Yes.
And this looks to be right in his wheelhouse, a self-effacing movie about the insanity of Hollywood. Here's a scene where De Niro is approached by a very attractive young lady in the bathroom, and I think she may want to be in movies.
Oh. I know what you think this looks like, but it's not. Johnny did not send me here to make you happy. I wanted to meet you on my own. I just want to get to know you.
Me? What's your name?
Laura.
Laura.
I respect you and your movies. And I know if I don't take this chance now, no matter how aggressive it might seem, my chance will never come up again.
That's so flattering. I mean, I guess if I were a tailor, you'd still be doing this, am I right?
If I was a tailor, you'd still be doing this, right? No, not so much.
Should have heard the argument I got in with my wife last night. If Robert De Niro were in a movie this weekend, I would know. How ridiculous is that? She's like, no, it looks good, Bruce Willis. No, that's stupid.
Kevin School debate.
Yep.
You are an idiot. I know Robert De Niro movies. What just happened? Opening this weekend. Max Payne also opens this weekend.
This looks great.
This is, Kevin.
Does. This looks great.
Oh, Kevin. This is a, basically a video game movie based on the popular video game. Mark Wahlberg plays Max Payne. That sounds like a made-up name, doesn't it? Like,
nope.
If you're watching a comedy and they made up an action movie, the star of the action movie
spoof.
Would be Max Payne.
Yeah.
Mila Kunis also stars Beau Bridges. It is about, you know, flying things and shooting stuff up.
See?
Basically, that's what
need?
It's about. Here, Mila Kunis asks a Jamaican mob boss, what's up with this Max Payne?
Listen, you still got an in with the cops, right? See if they know anything about a detective, Max Payne.
Max Payne.
What?
Max Payne, he's been hunting. He is looking for something that God wants to stay hidden. And that's what makes him even more dangerous. Stay away from Max Payne. You don't want to be near him when Judgment Day comes.
No, he played by his own rule. He an outlaw, this Max Payne.
Is Mark Wahlberg able to use his entire range of acting abilities in this film, do you think, Ralph?
I think he has squint. And growl. I think he's got both of those.
Oh, good.
Working. So
this looks great.
Last
Kevin, you're not going to see this, Kevin.
It says the guy that's going to go see the B movie.
Ralph, you decide. Which of these two would you rather go see?
I think I'd rather see crap blowing up and guns being shot than I would Queen Latifah telling me how to act like a bee. Yeah, quite frankly.
You know why? Ralph's a dude. That's why.
And lastly, the movie I'm excited about seeing is W.
Yeah.
Love him or hate him, you can't deny that George W. Bush has been a lot of entertainment over the past 8 years.
Sure.
And Oliver Stone distills it all into this film, which is the story of George W. Bush, how he rises from a drunken frat boy to a baseball team owner to the president of the United States. It sounds like a movie someone would have to write. And yet it's real. Here's a scene from the movie Karl Rove. is preparing George W. Bush, played by Josh Brolin in the film, for a debate for the governorship of Texas. This is when he's running for governor.
What it all comes down to is who Joe Voter wants to sit down and have a beer with. And guess who that is?
Just remember, make mine non-alcoholic.
So, anything about the issues, you come to me first, I'll tell you what to say.
Oh, you're not going to tell me what to say, Carl. I'm going to tell you what I want, because you're the word man. This campaign starts and ends with me and what I think.
You got it, W. I'm just a little fairy putting down a little magic dust for you.
Carl, this time I'm going to out Texas, Texas.
It's going out Texas, Texas.
Out Texas, Texas. Right.
Looks very entertaining. Josh Brolin is just so good. I think this movie will be interesting. I can't tell whether it's good or bad, but I think it will be interesting.
Absolutely.
George, Oliver Stone always provides you something to either rail against or love. I've loved Oliver Stone movies. I've hated Oliver Stone movies, but I think this one will be fascinating.
The only thing that looks good about this one is Rob Corddry, who's on hold, and we're going to talk to you next about W. He looks great.
He is always
that
good.
Guy. He brings it, you know?
I loved his Nixon movie, Stone's Nixon movie, and I loved his JFK movie. So I'm inclined to think that the guy knows how to do movies like this.
Was Corddry in either of those?
Nope.
Well, yeah, I don't think he was, actually.
All right, this one's better. Because
this one's probably better than those, yeah.
Mm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
And that's it for the Beach Report on the world famous K-Raw.
Sounds like poor Rocket Fig had a stroke there. Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock, 106.7 K-Rock, 7:45. Ralph was just talking about W in theaters today. We are very excited to welcome back to the program Rob Corddry. He plays former press secretary Ari Fleischer in the film opening today. Hey, Rob, welcome back, my friend.
My friends.
My friends.
Sorry, that should be a John McCain intro, my friends, I guess.
My friends, look.
Oh, I thought you had
That's
more.
That's it?
I want change.
Rob, look, there are going to be a lot of people out there who think that Oliver Stone only made this movie to somehow try to influence the election against Republicans because he hates them so. Why aren't those people right?
I think that's probably part of the reason. this is the first movie to ever, for one, be turned over in like 5 months. We were shooting this, it seems like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and usually it takes a year to get a movie up and running. So that in itself is crazy. But this movie is a lot of liberal filmmakers get accused of having an agenda. Well, this movie is a literal agenda. You know, they want to get it out while the president's still in office and right before the election. So,
but what do you think his goal is? Having seen the movie and spent time with Oliver Stone, is his goal to embarrass the president, to make the president look bad, or is he trying to tell as realistic a story as he can about a guy who has had a pretty remarkable life?
Yeah, that's I think what he's trying to do. It's actually, I think people will be surprised, conservatives and liberals alike will be surprised at how even-handed the movie is and how sympathetically it portrays the president.
You just said even-handed and Oliver Stone.
Yeah, I know.
That's a clash.
This is another historical event. Those two words have never been in the same sense.
Now, did you get the Ari Fleischer role just because you share his hairline, or was there some other reason that he thought you might be perfect for this to play this character?
Ari Fleischer and I are both bald gentlemen.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's it?
I'm one of the only bald men of my age in Hollywood, so I think that was just it.
Wow, congratulations.
The only one they could find.
Stanley Tucci might be a little too old.
what'd you learn about the job of press secretary playing one in the film?
I don't know if I learned anything. I was definitely confirmed that it's the hardest job in government, I think. Especially for Ari Fleischer to have to, defend that guy's policies for 3 years. And,
right.
He did it so well, too. I mean, he was as frustrating as hell, but he was so good at that job.
Why did he quit? Was he sick or something?
No, they all, since
that was Tony Snow.
Since they introduced the TV camera back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
The turnover rate has been about 2 or 3 years.
Oh, is that right?
That's
all they can take it?
I think Lee Atwater was like the last, 4 to 8 year press secretary.
The only thing, I mean, I know very little about politics, Rob. What I know, I learned from The West Wing, and I think that that's a realistic assessment of where politics.
Admirable place to learn about politics.
And all I know is that CJ on that show, half the time she went up to the podium was defending things that she didn't agree with, and the other half of the time was asked questions about subjects that she didn't know anything about because nobody had told her about. She was finding out stuff all the time in front of a live microphone and hundreds of cameras that she had to basically just tap dance her way out of. It does look like an almost impossible job to do well.
And I think like that was one of the good things. She was a pretty good example of a press secretary, whereas Ari Fleischer is not, because I think to be a great press secretary, you have to believe in everything that you say, and very few of them do, and Ari Fleischer does.
Do you have you made contact with McCain and Obama about you being the actual press secretary?
I am never not on the phone with both campaigns.
Okay.
My guys, you're going to miss a huge opportunity here.
I'm just saying you have some experience now.
Yeah.
By the way, with your hair, Rob, there's no reason why you couldn't play Joe the Plumber when that movie gets made.
Yeah, I was pleased. I mean, you know, when during the debate, I thought, I bet you this Joe the Plumber guy sounds bald to me.
Let me tell people who maybe haven't been paying attention one reason to think about hitting W in theaters this weekend. Listen to this cast, by the way. Tandy Newton playing Condoleezza Rice, who's a beautiful woman. In fact, she's too pretty to play the Secretary of State, I'm sorry to say.
She looks just like her, that she's completely transformed.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Wright, who's an incredible actor playing Colin Powell. You got you as Ari Fleischer, Richard Dreyfuss, the great Oscar winner playing Dick Cheney. I mean, of course, James Cromwell playing George Bush's father, Elizabeth Banks, who looks awesome as Laura Bush. Tell me a little bit about Josh Brolin turning himself into George W. Bush and how weird it must have been for him to play a guy that he is 180 degrees diametrically opposed to.
I know. Well, apparently the story is that Oliver Stone asked him to do it, and he was like, no way. That would be the worst idea in the world. Why are you doing this? And then I don't know why. I guess he took it just because of the challenge, but which is not a reason to do anything.
No.
In my book, challenges.
Yeah, well, who needs them?
Who wants a challenge? He is incredible in this movie. I mean, he's definitely going to get nominated for an Oscar, and if he doesn't win, it's only because, I don't know, Sean Penn does for Milk.
Okay, those are the two options?
I guess so. I think it's only going to be them. And maybe me. I might get up
well,
there.
You should definitely get a nod.
You should.
I mean, come on.
A lot of Academy members listening.
Sure.
Is it as funny as the Harold and Kumar movie you were in, Rob?
Funnier? No. It actually is. There are funny parts to this movie only because you'll shoot yourself in the head if there weren't.
Yeah.
It's such a tragic story.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it would be tough to get through having lived through 8 years of the real thing.
Well, that's the interesting thing is that, like, there's nothing new in this movie. Everything has been reported on.
You know how to sell it.
Why I'm not put in charge of publicity. But you actually come away with a clear picture, like, with the context, with a clear picture of the last 8 years.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which well, I didn't have before.
I'm fascinated. I definitely am going to try to check it out. I mean, if for no other reason, whether you approve of or disapprove of the president, if for no other reason, the difference in the first half of his life versus the last 12 years or so is so unbelievable that a guy could turn himself around, a guy who really did look like he was going nowhere in life and end up being the most powerful man in the world. I mean, it really is a remarkable story, and it is told in the film called W, directed by Oliver Stone, opening up everywhere today. I'm just going to say it stars Rob Corddry, and that's why you ought to go see it. Rob, yeah. You know we love you, man. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Show.
Great to talk to you guys. Thank you.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa.
Not now.
Not now? Oh.
Not now.
No, we've moved on. Sorry. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Friday. What's going on, Argar?
I've got very little time. We are running very, very late today. So I'm just going to get to the big, big stories.
Okay.
So you won't get a little of my little humorous quips and my little hilarious comedy chunks. I'm just going to do straight news.
Wow.
Because people need to know the big, big stories.
And what are the big, big stories?
In Touch Weekly has released their list of the top 10 boobs in Hollywood.
Yeah!
Let's get right to the important story, shall we?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Top 10 best boobs in Hollywood.
Can't wait.
These are the chicks with the best boobs in Hollywood, according to In Touch Weekly magazine.
Okay.
For your enjoyment. Number 10, Beyoncé Knowles.
Boobies!
Boobs.
Nope.
You don't think?
I think they're pretty strong.
I think she's got a great
body. I think she's amazing looking, but I don't know that I would go with boobs in the top 10.
Hmm.
She's hot. She's way hot.
You're not going to like a lot of the rest of the top 10 then if you're already poo-pooing Beyonce. I
like you.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but it's gross.
By the way, has insecurities about her body. She thinks her legs could be more muscular, her waist could be a little smaller, and her boobs could be a little bigger.
Wow.
But stop it, Psychomind.
Thank you, Spencer. Good to hear from you.
Number 9, Megan Fox on the list. See? Megan Fox.
Big ones.
Now, I don't think her boobs are really that great.
It's the packaging.
She's a beautiful, beautiful woman, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But in terms of just best breasts in Hollywood, they're a little on the smallish side for my taste.
They are. Yeah, seem like a small
she's thin. She's super thin.
She's not as curvy as I would like. She's a little on the little slender sort of muscular side.
Yeah.
Attractive.
But we're talking about degrees of perfection here, though, Ralph.
But if you're making a list of the best 10 breastises
in
Hollywood, I have to beg to differ.
Okay.
As I do with number 8, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, Ralph.
No.
Are you kidding? Again, attractive girl.
Yes.
I find her attractive, but I would never focus in on her breasticles.
Huh. It's a bad list.
It is a bad list. Number 7 on the list, Audrina Patridge.
Yes.
Now we're talking a great set of cans.
Sure.
Excellent set of
cans. People. Big old boobies.
I'd lop her head off with some sort of guillotine device.
I don't think that's an option.
But I like the breasts.
Great knockers.
Yeah, neck down. She's strong.
Number 6, I can also agree with Katherine Heigl.
Giant size cans.
Beautiful, just delicious, real boobs.
Mm-hmm.
She developed, she said, when she's about 14 years old. They just came out of nowhere. I'm all about that. Again, number 5, I agree with Lindsay Lohan.
Because she got big-ass boobies.
A lovely set of natural breasts, which I find infinitely attractive. She's just put together well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agree.
Number 4, representing the fakes, Carmen Electra.
Yes.
I want to squeeze them.
Yes, I think outstanding.
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find them on strippers.
You often do, Kevin. Scarlett Johansson, number 3 on the list.
Yes, boobies! Boobies!
Number 2, Tyra Banks made the list.
She does
have some great jugs.
She has great
boobs. She does have excellent fun pillows.
Yes, she
Ooh,
does.
I love boobies.
But that's...
I know, look.
That's...
You're preaching to the choir,
that's
Reverend.
A bad rapper that she's got him in.
I know. You have to put up a lot enjoy them, but you can't deny. And number
Big
one,
ones.
Number 1 also falls into that same category, but
Can
I think
guess?
Rightly so.
Can
yes,
I guess?
Sure you can.
Pam Anderson?
Not Pam Anderson. Pam, I wouldn't mind spending it with. I think Pam would be fun to hang out with and also enjoy her boobies.
Sure.
I'm
Kardashian.
Shocked there's... Not Kim Kardashian
Ooh.
Either.
Well,
that's
another good
excellent
one,
set. Yeah. Yes.
Angelina Jolie?
Wait.
No.
Huh. How about Elizabeth Hurley, who has phenomenal breasts?
What? Elizabeth Hurley?
What kind of guess
phenomenal
is that?
Phenomenal breasts.
What kind of guess is that?
Have you not seen her lately?
She's way slender and sort of just acceptable, marginal Ooh. Breastly.
I got a guess.
Yes.
You going to tell us?
Is it either Halle Berry or Selma Hayek?
Neither of those, Psycho
Mind. Oh, this is ridiculous.
And usually you're really good about guessing on the list, but you are wrong. I think you guys just aren't putting on your thinking caps. That's
okay,
what I think.
Hold on a second.
I think someone's got a case of the Mondays. That's what I think.
Is it Kevin James?
Kevin James.
Kevin James.
Best breasts in Hollywood
Come
is what
on,
you're saying
can't
right now.
Think.
How is it not?
Simon Cowell.
Jessica Alba.
No!
Mm-mm. Jessica Simpson.
Oh, number one on the list. Best breast in Hollywood.
This was a big bust.
Breasts so good, even her father has to obsess about
them.
Oh,
man.
As he told an interviewer in 2004, Jessica never tries to be sexy. She just got those double Ds. You can't cover those suckers up.
That is
he
not...
He said about his daughter.
That is not right.
That's creepy in all kinds of ways. So there you go.
He is correct, though.
There's your top 10 breastises in Hollywood.
That's a bad list.
It's a terrible list, and I think Mike made some excellent suggestions to go back and take out the Jennifer Anistons and maybe the Megan Foxes of the world and insert some of those others that he made.
Yeah, how Salma Hayek not make the list?
Yeah, really.
Those are insane.
Yeah. Or Monica Bellucci, by the way.
Oh, yeah. In vain. I know.
You guys are dead wrong on Liz
Mike
Hurley,
went
by the
Jewish
way.
On
did,
that
right
one.
There.
We're not dead wrong in Liz
You're
Hurley.
Dead wrong on Liz. You really are.
She's way hot.
But unbelievable breasts.
But super slender and sort of not a curvy, voluptuous breastises.
I'll accept your apology in 1 hour.
You are bad. You're wrong and bad.
You go do a little bit of internet research.
You are go bad. Straight to hell. How about that?
Today's celebrity birthdays: Mike Judge, creator of Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. He is 46 years old today.
Norman, the man who wrote the line about the Case of the Mondays, in fact, in
that's
Office Space.
Right, yeah. Man, get his ass kicked, said that around me. Norm MacDonald's 45 years old today. Jean...
Claude Van Damme.
No, Wyclef Jean of the Fugees is 36 years old today. And rapper Eminem also turns 36. Isn't that funny? If you change it around, it's Eminem rapper. Isn't that funny?
Ah.
Like when you eat all the M&Ms, what you have left is an M&M wrapper. And then
no.
You have a wrapper M&M. They're two completely different things.
I'm going with no on that one.
They're both, they're not the same at all.
No.
Isn't that funny how life works, Kevin?
No.
You're fun.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Look, here my whole thing. Actor Seth Green joins us in a few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. Here my whole thing. And Kevin, you're familiar with this more than anybody. You're completely 1,000% out of step with everyone else in the world.
Right, but you know that on a daily basis.
I heard the Paper Stains song, the new Red Hot parody, most requested song at K-Rock of Paper Planes, the MIA song. I heard that on our program a couple of days ago.
And thought it was the best thing ever?
Close. I thought that the people involved in recording and writing it should be jailed. I really thought they shouldn't be allowed to be free among people because clearly there's something wrong
because
with it.
Because they're too talented to live
because
amongst
there's
them?
No reason that song should exist. It shouldn't have been written. It shouldn't have been recorded. Certainly shouldn't have been played. People certainly shouldn't like it. Shouldn't be voted on.
But
it's
now
bad.
You realize how wrong you are.
Well, what I realize is it doesn't matter how right I am. It's that I'm the only person. I'm the lone voice in the wind because apparently Paper Stains is an international sensation.
Well, it does seem to be garnering a little bit of like.
Yes.
I'll tell you that.
Dave tells me that we put the song up to available to stream at the sounds page of the Kevin Bean section of KRock.com. More than 10,000 people, or at least 10,000 streams already in the last 2 days. Of that song.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We could put up a Britney Spears sex video and we wouldn't get 10,000 views in a day. What the hell's going on with people in their potty humor?
They like
Dude,
it.
Dude, the people love it. That's all I know. Let's go to the Afro line.
Hey, boys. I'm just saying. Poop's funny.
But wasn't it funny until you got to be 8 and then it's not funny anymore?
Only if you're ceased living. Poop is always funny, Bean.
Poop is always funny.
I mean, come
and
on.
And universal.
Lisa thinks that it's always funny.
Yeah.
And that Paper Stains song, it's a hit. It's a hit.
Okay. 2-4. None against.
Paper Stains. That song is a
See what he did? Yeah. We can all agree on that.
See what he did? By the way, we're going to play it again in a minute. So if you're above 30, you probably want to turn off the radio. We've never really given that kind of a warning before.
You think?
I think it appeals to the youth.
Okay.
It appeals to the 8-year-old in all of us.
The Paper Stains song is hilarious. I was driving on the freeway and I just about wrecked my truck. Everyone on the freeway's laughing.
Okay.
Oh, this song is so freaking funny. Oh my God, I was drinking soda and I spit it all over my monitor at work.
All right, I think he was mocking us, so that's one against.
I think so. Okay.
That Paper Stain song is amazing. I love it so much, I think I'm going to do the wave.
She did her own wave.
That's just that insult to injury right there.
Dude, that was the greatest song in the world. You just might want to send that tape to the Smithsonian right now, because that's going to be on display forever.
Your apology, Bean?
I'm wrong? Not going to apologize. I'm still the only right man standing.
Dump, dump, dumpa, dumpa, dumpa. Wanna take a dump.
We're not going to play it again, really, though. I mean, that's a joke, and it's funny at all to say that we're going to. But clearly, this is our conversation about Paper Stains. We don't have to play the song, though.
Let's see.
Hey, guys. I don't know about you, but hey, I really want to do Miss Cleo in the now.
Oh!
Well, that we can't agree on.
She's got to be happy about that.
Here's an interesting take.
Yeah, I love the Paper Stains song, but I can say, not so much looking forward to the video.
Oh, good point,
yes,
sir.
You will be. Here's the other side of it.
Dude, seriously, you guys got to make Paper Stains the music video. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Make Two Girls, One Cup look like a Steel Magnolias. Whatever. Come on.
Nope.
Come on.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Already storyboarded.
No, please. No, please.
I barely got over it.
normal. Come on, let's go take a dump. Come on, let's go take a dump. I love that song.
See? Just for that guy. I mean, sure, just for that guy, really, because he misses it already.
Yeah.
I got an email yesterday from a guy. He wants to get his own copy because he wants to use it as his first dance song at his wedding. And I thought, now,
sweet.
That's too much.
That's very nice. Well, here you go. Let's roll the song, and he can record it for his wedding.
Good morning.
You might want to put your food down.
Because my stomach's in pain. Gonna run to the toilet so I can make chocolate rain. I need to find a bathroom. I've been waiting all day. To the porcelain god, I really need to pray. Kids to the pool, I wanna take them. I'm gonna poison your sewer system. Had Mexican for dinner, now my stomach's in pain. I'm gonna need a plunger to unclog my drain. Chocolate hostages. Wish I just had to pee. But no, I've got a bad case of butt coffee. Had Mexican for dinner. I'm all backed up. Gonna make the pudding from two girls, one cup. Not number one, I mean two. Show me what brown can do for you. In a big law contest, I would probably win. I shouldn't have had all that damn Mexican. P-O-O, damn, I gotta go. Yeah, I got more logs than a lumberjack. Now I gotta go do my business. Dump a dump a dump a dump a dump. I gotta take a dump. Dump a dump a dump a dump a dump.
You do not know how much we regret that that got on the air.
That is awesome.
Butthead.
A trillion is more than a billion, numbnuts.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it.
Look.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Back off my jock, okay, dinkus?
Dinkus?
In reality, it's more like she was obsessed with this.
Hey, you know what? Keep dreaming, Seth. Keep dreaming.
I had enough people come up to me. Ask me to do the voice.
Yeah, yeah. And they also have an Orange Julius. Just trying to keep the conversation going.
What do you want from me, you beaver? What, an autograph? A headshot? Well, unless you can trade me a clean cup of urine, you can forget it.
Would you stop?
How about an hour?
How about a what?
How about an hour?
Honestly, isn't this...
How about you do, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Doo?
Actor Seth Green, one of the stars of the film Sex Drive, opening up today, joins us in the K-Rock studios. Seth, I got a question for you right out of the gate.
Let's hear it.
Is it true that the bird is the word? is that true? Because I've heard that. Is that actually fact?
Yeah. Don't you know about the bird?
Oh, dear.
No.
The bird is the word?
I'm pretty sure everybody knows that the bird is the word.
I have always despised that song. And then last week's Family Guy, right?
Two weeks ago.
Yeah. They showed that
all about it.
They showed that clip at Comic-Con. I hadn't seen it before. And you know me with those scripts. Like, I don't even read the script. I just come in and do my lines. And that way I get to watch the show as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that clip, and it's like 19 minutes long. It's just relentlessly funny.
It's not
what I love.
What I love about half hour, it's not funny. But then the last 45 minutes, it is.
Well, it's like for the first 9 minutes, it's not funny.
Yeah.
And then you hit into that 10 to 15th minute. You're like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And then the 16th minute, you're like, why? Why
you
hasn't
go
this stopped?
In and out.
Yeah.
And
then
out,
in the 18th minute, you're like, nope, back to brilliant.
One of my favorite things about The Family Guy, which I still say and have said, is the best show on television.
Oh, you're so sweet.
It's true. It's true.
What about Fox News, though?
That's funnier, but The Family Guy is best overall. But one of the best things about it is that Seth knows how uncomfortable those things that go, like the fights. Every time there's a fight on the show, and it goes on for 2 minutes, and you just go, you can't be serious that some poor animator in Korea had to draw this again
over and again
over and over and over again.
But it's very, very funny. But that's not what you're here to talk about. How are you, Seth? What's going on? We haven't seen you in a few weeks. What are you up to?
You haven't seen me in almost 10 days. Well,
we missed you, man.
As usual, I'm hitting the road with a quality product.
That's what you're famous for.
No, this movie Sex Drive that I made with Clark Duke and James Marsden and Josh Zuckerman and Amanda Cruz coming out on Friday. I'm really happy about it, and I really hope people go to see it.
You're an Amish dude.
Yes, yes. Well, oh, in the movie? Yes. Well, in the movie, I play a Mennonite. No, in real life, I'm an Amish. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that it was a parallel thing.
It's part of why you never see me at the Playboy Mansion.
Interesting. Now, you being the kind of actor you are, you just winged it, right? You didn't do a minute's research on being Amish, right?
I did a minute's research.
You didn't do a minute's research.
You watched Kingpin. You know, that's what you did.
In all seriousness, my friend Hugh and I created a comic called Freshman. And we had an Amish character in there, so we did a fair amount of research at that point about the culture, about what would be, you know, realistic for a teenager, especially a teenager on Rumspringa. So I had a limited amount of information, and plus we watched the documentary Devil's Playground.
Oh yeah,
that's so good. Have you seen this? That is amazing. So good.
For anyone who doesn't believe what we're doing in this comedy movie related to Amish and Rumspringa, watch Devil's Playground.
Tell the listeners about the Rumspringa, because a lot of people may not be familiar with that term, because it is one of the most fascinating aspects of the Amish faith.
Well, the Amish culture traditionally shies away from any modern devices, any electrical, any, you know, automotive, any things like that. But there's a period in their time, because they're born into this culture, when they're teenagers, where they're allowed to explore the outside world. It's called Rumspringa. It actually means run wild.
So, I'm surprised that
they decide.
I mean, I'm surprised because it's such a closed down society.
Let me get to the hitch. So you do this for as long as you like. You can go to college. You can learn a trade. You can run amongst the heathens and do what you like. And then you reaffirm yourself to the faith and you become part of the culture for the rest of your life. If you choose to walk the heathen's path, your entire family and your village will shun you. To the degree that if you walked up to them and spoke to them, they would pretend that you're not there.
Oh, so, unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
Right. So what are you going to do? Yeah.
So parents
will turn their sex and drugs.
Yeah, no kidding.
Parents will turn their backs on their own children at like 20 years old. They'll just say, "You are dead to me," because you've decided you'd rather live in the outside world with electricity.
Well, the unshakability of that faith is very strong. And when you turn your back on that faith, you're essentially turning your back on the way of your family. And that's how they perceive it.
Right.
Seth, I know that you're not here for a serious discussion about the Amish, but I am fascinated.
Well, then you misunderstood my agenda.
Is it thriving? Does it continue to add members, or is it one of those crazy religions that's kind of dying out and one day they'll be gone?
You know, I haven't really taken a census of Pennsylvania lately, so it's hard to say.
I'll tell you, though, I have relatives in Iowa and all around there, and those horse-drawn carriages are just... You can't get away from them. They're all over the place back there. Because they will not take a car.
The one we had in the movie was all tricked out with, like, crushed velvet interior.
Here's one of the reviews, by the way, from MovieWeb.com, which I've never heard of. But you Google Seth's name.
Sounds like Spider-Man's blog.
Yeah. It does it. Most definitely, the appearance that takes the trophy in the film is the memorable cameo by Seth Green, whose sarcasm will crack you up.
I didn't know they were giving out trophies.
Yeah, they are.
That man has still got it, it says, which is good to know at your advanced age, Seth, that you've still got it.
Oh,
right?
Wow. Thank goodness.
His bearded Amish look. I was really concerned that I was failing.
You were losing it.
His bearded Amish look, as it is, will get you even more if you try to remain calm. By the way, if Amish people are even half as awesome as what this movie portrays, I'd consider joining their community.
Well, you should think about it. It's a thriving admission.
That's what we're saying, is think about the Amish. If you could take
really
one message away from today's show, it's think about the Amish.
There's a girl in the movie named Alice Gretchen who plays an Amish girl that Clark Duke falls in love with. And if she were at all the average Amish woman, we would all be Amish.
Yeah.
She's ridiculously beautiful.
Yeah. Now, the guys in the movie, one of the guys has an internet hookup, is that what it is, and drives across country to meet this fantasy woman from the computer, right?
Yeah, he tells a bunch of
lies. Hilarity ensues.
Exactly. Well, he tells a bunch of lies online to try and get this girl to flirt with him, and then she says, well, if you actually come to meet me and any of these things are true, I'll have sex with you. And so he sets about trying to make all those things true.
Sweet. Seth, I'm going to tell you that that is the story of Bean's life. That happened to him
once. This is actually my autobiography.
No, seriously.
Oh, really?
Bean drove to another state for an internet date.
What was on the other side of it?
We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Nice.
And tell you, Sex Drive is the...
Seth Green is in the studio. Our guest is in a film called Sex Drive, opening up everywhere today. By the way, in the 9 o'clock hour, Tara Patrick is going to be joining us.
Aww.
Is she coming in or is she on the phone?
She's on the phone.
Oh, well, I'll be gone by then.
Bean was just she's coming in then, right, Seth?
Yep. Bean was just about to tell us that he drove across state lines to meet a girl from the internet. Okay,
oh,
go ahead.
I want to hear this story. Yes,
which isn't true
no,
at
go
all.
Ahead.
It's not. I mean, it's saying it's not a. That's not a true story at all. It was before the internet even existed when this story happened. But there was, and I don't even. I think Ralph knows the story even better than I do because you know.
Just tell it.
I don't remember very many details about it.
You're wasting my on-air time, man.
I don't remember very many details about it. I just remember that there were...
Do you know how many more times I've got to plug Sex Drive opening this Friday? Or it's opening today, actually.
Do you have a list? A list of the amount of times?
At least several.
Wait, the gist of it was just that I drove from Maryland to Pennsylvania to see this girl, and she wasn't there and didn't care to see me or anything like that. It was a big, fat waste of time, and I hope it ends up better for your friends in Sex Drive.
It does. It has a happy ending.
Really? You promise a happy ending from this movie?
I can't promise a metaphoric happy ending.
Sure, yeah. Hey, last time you were here, Seth, you were working on a movie or you were telling us about a movie that you were in with an unbelievable cast. I think Bernie Mac was one of the guys who was in it, and Robin Williams, a bunch of people. Whatever happened to that? Is that coming out?
Yeah, it is, actually. This is a great... I did this movie called Old Dogs with Robin Williams and John Travolta, and... you know, the tough things about the way that movies are distributed today is it's become incredibly orchestrated and political, and I know that nobody really cares about that, but this movie's coming out Thanksgiving of next year.
Of next year? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. And the reason why is because Disney releases about 8 movies a year. Uh-huh. They release them in very specific blocks in very specific places. This movie tested through the roof, so instead of putting it out in fall the way they'd been thinking, they realized they have an opportunity for a big family movie, so they're putting it out Thanksgiving.
Wow.
I know.
A year from Thanksgiving.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating to have to wait as an actor, and also that used to imply sort of a lack of quality or belief in the movie, but in this case, it's the opposite. They did a bunch of preliminary tests. It tested through the roof.
Are you going to have to watch it again before next November so you can talk about it?
I'm sure that I will, but I had some experiences on this movie that I will not soon forget.
Really?
Yeah, I'm working with one of my heroes, Robin Williams, and John Travolta, who I've worked with several times but never gotten to have as many scenes with as this, and we just had you guys. It was like a blissed out experience getting to go to work every day with these guys.
It's so funny for me to hear guys like you who are very accomplished actors who've had a long career working with lots of great directors and actors to still be kind of, you know, a little bit starstruck by some of the people you work with in films.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not so jaded by my collective experience that it makes me not enjoy it. I'm still a fan of film. I'm still a fan of actors and music, and when I meet people that impress me, I'm still impressed.
It's going to blow people's minds when they see that Bernie Mac has a new movie out more than a year from now. They're going to be like, wait, what is he, Tupac? How does this happen?
I know, and he's so funny in the movie, too. He plays this guy who's like a children's theater puppeteer. It's very hard to explain, but he does this complicated live stage show that is all at once disturbing and sexy. it's really funny. I got to watch him do it like 8 or 9 times.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Tell us how you got to
Ezekiel. This was not a movie you pushed. This was something you read and got interested in.
I read this script, and you know, I was out of the age range for the main kids, but I really wanted to be a part of it, and I initially wanted Marsden's part. He plays Josh Zuckerman's older brother, and it is just this hilariously homophobically aggressive workout angry man who always with a smile on his face kicks his brother's ass.
Yeah.
And it's just such a funny role. But I have to say, when they said they were casting Marsden, I was like, oh, well,
that makes sense.
Because I've known Jimmy for a really long time, and he's arguably one of the most handsome, talented guys in town, but he's also brilliantly funny and nobody knows it. So you get to see him be as funny as he is in this movie. And all I can tell you is, bring a diaper because you're going to pee your pants.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Is he the guy who was one of the stars of Enchanted? Is that the actor we're talking about?
Yeah.
Here? James Marsden?
Very funny guy. Marsden's from like The Notebook and from X-Men, and he's done all these movies. He was in 27 Dresses with Katherine Heigl, and it's like he's played all these leading man hunky dudes, and he's so funny, like painfully funny. So when you see him in this movie, you'll get a hint of it.
Fantastic. And you play Amish, which of course makes sense.
Yeah, well, that was the other part.
Men like,
was
it,
when you were when you, Jimmy got that part, I was like, well, I'd love to do Ezekiel. I think I could do something funny with it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Ralph said in the
Even in the trailer, when you just come in and you got that beard, it's just, it's so ridiculous. It's funny.
It gets even funnier.
Oh, God.
Ralph said in the Movie Beat last hour that he gets the super bad vibe off of the trailer for this.
And well, here's I think the nicest thing.
That's what we're looking for.
I'm not trying to stack the deck in our favor, but we are the only comedy out right now. Like, literally the only thing in the last 6 weeks that's funny in the marketplace.
And that includes Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua came out several weeks ago, and that's proven by the box office. Everybody saw it. So.
Yeah. That's true.
That's over.
Yeah, so moving on, turn the page. Besides, this one's R-rated, so I think it'll be a different crowd.
That's what I'm happy about.
Me too.
I really am, because a lot of these movies, they take a lot of the comedy out to make it PG-13.
You get your money's worth with the R-rating here. We definitely...
Boobies? Boobies?
Plenty of boobies.
Do we see your boobies? That's what I'm talking about.
You see my boobies? You see... let me give you three words, guys.
Okay.
Old man balls.
Now I'm in.
Strong...
Why is it that on the poster?
Strong visual.
Well, because
that's one of those... secret tidbits that they reveal when you watch it.
There's nothing funny. That's awesome. All right. Sex Drive is the name of the movie. It comes out today. You should see it.
Hey, Lisa, how's the traffic on the way to Covina right now?
Oh, are you kidding?
Is that where you're going?
No, my friend, coincidentally named Lisa, is in the middle of a horrible drive.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Good times.
Not good.
Will you come back in when your next Star Wars thing?
Oh, my gosh. I will. We're putting out Robot Chicken Star Wars November 16th.
I don't want to...
Like overemphasize this, but I think it's way better than the first one.
No kidding.
Yeah,
the first one was awesome.
Thank you. I'm thrilled with it. Everybody was swinging for the fences on this one. I think it's really great.
Come back in a month. We'll talk about it.
I will.
Thank you, Seth.
Thanks, guys.
Sex Drive is the movie. Tara Patrick coming up just after the top of the hour. Is that good? All that noise?
It was for me.
Okay.
8:56 Friday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Peter Cook, the ex-husband of Christy Brinkley, maybe even slimier than we expected. This is a great story.
Remind me of that story. Christy
Brinkley, this is like her fourth husband. She marries Peter Cook, who is a fairly successful architect, has his own firm.
And she's a former supermodel.
Former supermodel. He used to be married to Billy Joel. And they get together. They have a couple kids. They have what, on the surface, appears to be a perfect showbiz marriage. And then it turns out that he has an affair with an 18-year-old girl that he met. I think she was like working at the counter at a Kinko's or something. I forget how he first met her. But he wants to bang this 18-year-old, so he gives her a job at his architecture firm.
Giddy up.
Puts her to work there next to him. And then while she's working for him, starts playing hide the kielbasa. So... Christy Brinkley finds out about it.
Right.
And as you can imagine, is none too pleased.
Well, women are unreasonable like that.
And they have a big divorce. And there's a big battle over custody of the kids and how much money, who's going to get what money. And she ends up with the lion's share of their fortune. She gets like three homes in the Hamptons in New York where they have. And all of a sudden, she gets all this money. There was speculation at the end of the trial when suddenly it stopped because Peter Cook was willing to settle.
Oh.
That there was a bombshell that could have been dropped by some investigators Christy Brinkley had hired that would have really turned things in her favor.
So it was sort of blackmailish. From her standpoint, she could get him just to settle and move on.
Right. And there was a big thing in the news where you see these private investigators walking towards the courtroom on the day saying, we've got some, in this envelope, we've got evidence that'll blow this case wide open. And but no one ever found out what was in the envelope. Speculation was it may have been some sort of film or videotape. Okay. Well, the New York Post says that a sex tape does exist, and they've seen stills from a video featuring Peter Cook and this 18-year-old, Diana Bianchi.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
So he was cheating on her and filming it.
Apparently, the scenes that they saw at the New York Post, they were both naked, having sexual intercourse on a brown love seat. Also, another sequence showing Diana Bianchi performing a striptease down to a black G-string.
How about the horrors?
And
how about the horse?
Cook apparently trying to make room in his pants during this whole thing. And another scene where Peter Cook is just resting his head on her butt, which is a great pillow, by the way. An 18-year-old butt.
Sure.
It's a good pillow. So the interesting part of it is it's coming out now that judging from what they see in the video, it doesn't appear as if Diana is aware that she is being filmed through these sequences.
That's the best. Ooh. He was videotaping without her knowledge?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
He's that's the winner. Best.
Videotaping his 18-year-old mistress without her knowledge behind his wife's back.
Chicks like that, though, right?
They do.
I mean,
they respond to that.
You'd be happy with that, right, Lisa?
They're going to be all over him now.
That is awesome.
Most women say, look, film me all you want having sex, just don't let me know about it. That's usually their attitude when they go into a relationship. So he was just doing what she said.
Now, that's not going to have any impact with whatever's going on in the divorce settlement with Christie Brinkley. This is a completely separate deal. This is how he now is screwing up with the woman that he's basically left his wife for.
Yeah. Well, shit, that relationship ended anyway when the whole was exposed.
Is it possible this was after the breakup or no?
No, because I'm pretty sure the relationship was over before the marriage was over.
Okay.
But the thing is, he was on Barbara Walters recently telling his side of the story, how
Christie
Brinkley forced him into this behavior, basically, because she didn't pay him enough attention because she was so busy being a supermodel and running these businesses, and he just wanted some attention and made to be feel like a man again. He was basically trying to put it on her.
Hmm.
So this is coming out in response to that, I'm assuming.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
That's the other part that they don't talk about. Here's another great story that apparently there is a new TV series in the works. And this is right up Psycho Mike's alley. This is a series where they're going to take famous warriors and pit them against each other through computer generation and computer simulation.
Right.
So, for example, the series will be called Deadliest Warrior. And they will do computer-engineered bouts between historical tough guys. Like, they're going to take Genghis Khan's Mongol hordes and pit them against the Nordic Vikings.
Oh, my God!
And you'll get to see these two armies battle it out, and they'll be able to decide via computer generation which one of the forces would win.
That sounds like porn.
For Mike. For it's porn for
unbelievable.
Mike.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
But that sounds dumb, because...
Dumb?
Because they're just guessing. Right?
I mean, no, they take all the facts they know about both sides, they program it into a computer, they have a computer program, and the program figures out, based on the weaknesses and strengths of both sides, who would be the victor.
This is just like, would the 72 Oakland A's be able to beat the 2004 Red Sox? It's just like the simulation of people that can't be on the same field at the same time, but you can see from what you know whether they're winner.
It's like Rocky Balboa against Mason Dixon.
Sure.
But I'm thinking, as I read this story, it's going to be on Spike TV, by the way, for next year. As I'm reading the story about Deadliest Warrior, we might finally get the answer to the question.
Christian Bale is the answer.
Pirates versus ninjas.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, interesting. There you go.
That's what I'm going to suggest.
That's not even a fight.
Right?
I mean, the
pirates
ninjas
win.
That's what we're saying.
Oh,
yeah.
Pirates,
the ninjas
are so much better. Yeah.
Pirates, stealthy.
The ninjas
pirates,
kill.
Pirates,
yeah. Get out of there.
Pirates,
you don't even know they were there.
Pirates.
Dead pirates is all you have.
Guys with one leg and one eye.
Pirates.
I don't think so.
Let's drink. Ninjas pirates. Cut their eyes right off.
Pirates.
Ahoy! Ahoy!
Amy Winehouse has finally figured out who to blame for her addiction.
Parents?
The devil.
The devil made her too.
But she didn't say that.
According to Witness, she was recently in a London recording studio and started screaming while having a meltdown that Satan was giving her drugs.
As a Christian woman, I believe I can say with complete certainty that you are the devil.
Yeah.
Wow. And he probably has good quality.
Turns out it's Carl Satan, the guy who lives in her neighborhood.
Oh, who knew?
No, she thinks the devil's giving her the drugs.
Wow.
She went on to try to play on the track, could only eke out a few different notes on her guitar, so flipped out and smashed the $5,000 instrument on the floor to pieces.
Why didn't she ask the devil to help her play the guitar?
That's what I'm saying.
She got a connection.
As far as I know, though, the devil only plays violin.
Oh,
he plays
right?
The fiddle.
Okay.
Because I remember the devil once, he went down to Georgia.
Right.
Really?
Georgia. Yeah.
What was he looking for?
He was looking for a soul to steal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, well, that's a long story. Anyway, he met this guy named Johnny, right?
Right.
And he says, look, I'll give you this shiny fiddle made of gold.
Right.
But if I win, then the devil takes his soul.
Mm-hmm.
This is a true story, Kevin. This is in the Bible.
Yes,
right?
It's a true story. Fire on the mountain, run, boys. A lot of people have no idea what we're talking about.
Why don't you just go down to hell and work for the devil?
Oh, I have, and I do.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthday is Mike Judge, whose voice you heard right there.
That was his voice.
From King of the Hill, and also the creator of Beavis and Butthead. He is 46 years old today. Norm MacDonald turns 45. Wyclef Jean of the Fugees is 36 years old today. And Eminem, who's got a new CD in the pipeline, and apparently we'll hear some Norm Eminem music soon. He is 36 years old.
I have a
old.
Clip if you want to hear the Eminem song.
Do we have time for a little Eminem?
Sure. Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got a $1 million contract.
And you're still waiting for your hot track.
There you go. Eminem.
Lose it a little.
Maybe now we know why we haven't heard from him in a while.
Manure.
Exactly. Manure.
Oh, don't
manure.
Don't
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What song were we just playing? It was very noisy at the end. What was that?
That would be Nirvana, Read Me.
Well, that's not appropriate.
You're just figuring that out.
That's not appropriate.
Been playing that years.
That shouldn't be allowed.
I'm
going to write a strongly worded letter to management. There's no place for that on our station.
It's a good song.
Look, I think I speak for Kevin when I say that we're both enormous fans of Dr. Drew. Couldn't love the dude anymore. Got no problems with Ted Stryker. They do a phenomenal job on Loveline. But I'm sorry to say, I gotta dump Loveline from my life. I'm not going to listen to Loveline anymore because who needs those two dudes talking about answering sex questions when you've got the beautiful Tara Patrick doing her own show called School of Sex Fridays at 9 on Playboy TV. And Miss Patrick joins us again on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Tara.
Whoa, wow.
Good morning, guys.
Oh, that's not fair.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Good morning.
You need to stay on this phone for about 2 more minutes.
Oh, dear God.
I'm just saying. I need 2 minutes.
I'm your morning goddess here to say good morning to both of you.
All right, I'm done.
I still need a little more time.
Okay.
Tara, I can't remember what it was we talked to you about last time, but we're delighted to have you back on for School of Sex. This is new on Playboy TV. What's the deal?
Yes, it is. It's my nighttime show. It's on Fridays at 9 o'clock, and they actually air it all week long, so you can watch the episodes all week long. Okay. And it's basically like, it's a how-to. It's basically like how to have a threesome, how to have better sex, how to have sex in public. It's just every single question that I always get ever gotten, and we kind of act it out on nighttime TV, and it's a little how-to guide. It's just how to have great sex and how to keep having great
Wait
sex.
Wait a minute. So you have somebody that asks you, what about threesomes? And then you recreate that and you do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
What could be better than Dr. Drew?
Better than that. Yeah, Dr. Drew doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't.
I know he doesn't.
And I don't want him to be honest. So somebody, as an example, and I haven't seen it yet, but as an example, someone will send in a letter and they'll say, Tara, I'm interested in stripping for my man. What advice can you give me? And you'll answer that question, and the way you'll do it is you or some of the other women on Playboy TV will show us how to strip for your man.
How to do the striptease exactly, step by step.
It only sounds like the best show ever.
It is. It is. I know. I didn't think I could top my last one, but this one definitely does. It's good, you know, because, I mean, everybody, what is it? Everybody's, like, thinking about sex all the time, and I'm sure you guys are thinking about it right now.
Well, right? Yes.
Well, especially right now. A little more right now than usual, to be honest. But how do people get you their questions?
I'm sorry?
How do people get you their questions? Email?
Email into Playboy TV. It's just basically, you know, the questions that we've gotten over the years. So,
can you tell us in a way that we can put on the radio, what is the most asked question that you get?
How to have a threesome.
That's it. Wow.
Yeah,
really?
That's it. How to invite another girl. All the guys want to know, how do I get another girl into my groove?
And the short answer to that question that we've learned on this show is you need to let your girlfriend or wife pick that girl. That's how you do it, right?
Yeah, because it's a little less threatening. I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, if you're with, you know, you're with your girlfriend, you don't want her to feel threatened and hate your guts the next day. You know, hopefully you want to wake up with her the next day or wake up with both of them the next day and have it still be really cool. So, yeah.
Now, one of the things that we've noticed about Loveline, Tara, is that it's all fun and games and sexy until the first time you get a letter from someone who was touched when they were 8 or someone who's got some sort of open pussy sore. I mean,
you don't
handle any of that heavy duty emotional or medical stuff, right?
No, we only handle the sexy stuff.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Tara Patrick keeps it sexy. Yeah, I keep it moving. I keep it real. I keep it sexy.
Is it a half hour, an hour?
It's a half an hour.
Can you make it an hour?
I'm going to try. How about next season?
Okay.
Okay. And Playboy TV, you can get that on the satellite or on the cable, right?
Yeah. Yes, you can. Just call in and say you want Playboy TV. And actually, speaking of Playboy, well, I'm also on Playboy Radio, which is on Sirius. I have a show Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock, which is also, we don't talk about any of the crazy stuff. We only talk about the sexy stuff, and it's called Rockstar Porn Star, so you have to check me out on there, too. I'm on the radio just like you guys.
All right. No, not like us. You're way hot. We're just doofuses.
All right. You can get all of the times and channels at TaraPatrick.com. School of Sex, Friday nights at 9 on Playboy. Sounds well worth checking out. And Tara, let me know when my letter arrives, okay?
Yeah, and I have to come in studio to hang out with you guys.
Well, I mean, okay. I mean, if you say.
Because I have to do your morning show. Ooh, yeah, I have to do your morning show.
Okay. I mean, if you insist.
I will.
Okay.
Can you do traffic? Are you good? Can you read traffic?
I'll do the traffic. I'll do that. I'll do the weather. I'll do the traffic.
Can you do the news?
I can do the news.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You're hired.
That would be an awesome show. Let's have Tara come in next time Doc's on vacation and have her do the news.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
I mean, twist my arm.
All right, Tara. Have a great weekend, my dear.
Thank you. You too.
Thank
bye.
Bye.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, let's see if I can say it today. 1-800-520-1067. You will win a pair of tickets to the Shipwreck at Queen Mary. How about that? 15 terrifying nights this month. QueenMaryShipwreck.com is the number for details. I sound like Sarah Palin when I try to enunciate that well.
You betcha.
You do. Let's start with Jeremy in Griffith Park. We had a conversation this morning about a list that Ralph had in the showbiz about the top 10 boobs in Hollywood. I don't think Jeremy is even close, but let's talk to him. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning. What it do, Lisa?
What it do, Jeremy?
All right. So I was thinking, I've been hearing that list, and it's been haunting me ever since. I know we all agree that Jennifer Aniston is a definite no-go on that.
Right. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I'm going to say movie title, and that's Black Snake Moan. Christina Ricci.
Yeah, she's got nice cans.
She's got nice cans, yeah.
Yeah. Top 10?
They're pretty great.
I would put her above Jennifer Aniston, I'll tell you that.
She's in the discussion, but she may not be top 10. We might have to revisit this subject and come up with the ultimate top 10 list.
Yeah, there are top 10, and there's like 7 of them that I don't
think. There's a lot of actresses like Jennifer Love Hewitt. A lot of people have been writing me. Yeah, I'd put her in the discussion, but I don't know if she's top 10 either.
And I gotta be honest when I tell you, forget her age for a moment. Pam Anderson has to be on that list, doesn't she?
I would think so.
Pam Anderson?
Yeah.
For best breast in Hollywood?
Pam Anderson?
I don't know how you don't put her in the top 10. So
we might have
right,
to make
Ralph.
A fake list and a real list, too.
A fake
oh,
list?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Fake
list. Yeah. Fake top 10, real top 10.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Because, for example, Jessica Simpson, who's in the top 10 of this list in general, those are real, and that's spectacular.
Yeah.
Right.
They're magical. They actually do magic.
They do magic. That's true.
On TV.
Can I swat Big T from San Fernando on line 6, please? Can you bring this guy on and give me a shot?
Swat him?
Yes.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Slap him down.
Oh. What the kids are saying?
Beat him up.
Oh, why don't you swat him? Big T?
What'd it do?
What'd it do, Big T?
You're dead to me.
Bean, he's an ugly guy.
Who are you talking about?
Zac Efron.
I hope you die!
Vanessa, oh my God. Way better than that.
Where did you see him, Big T?
I was actually at the premiere last night.
High School Musical 3?
School Musical 3, yes, sir.
You're there on purpose?
Did you go on purpose?
No, actually, I was working there, and I can't tell you what I do because I get fired.
All right, well, that's something that involves a lot of personality.
He may not be your type, but I doubt that he's ugly.
He's not that good looking, though. He's just not a good looking guy, at least for. You know, if Vanessa's with him, I mean, she could do way better than that, too.
Nobody could do way better than Zach ever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I've heard enough.
You're bad. You're bad. You guys are with me. The Big T's bad. You may not agree with me, but you don't agree with him, right?
Nope. You're forcing us to any other side but yours.
It's true.
You're forcing us away.
Zach's eyelashes alone make him worth marrying. Come on. Oh, he's so dreamy.
God, I hate you. Chris in Burbank, good morning.
Morning, guys. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, iTunes. Paper stain, iTunes. That's all I got to say.
That's all you got to say, huh?
You said it well.
Paper stains, iTunes.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Paper Stains, of course, is the smash sensation song. That's a parody song of the Paper Planes, the MIA hit. People have been saying, why can't I go to KROQ.com and download this? Here's the deal. For the same reason you can't do that, we can't sell it on iTunes because we don't own the music. We don't have the copyright on it. We're not free to do anything that we want with it. So that's why it's available for stream. And you can go to the sound section of the Kevin and Bean page at KROQ.com, as more than 10,000 people already have, and listen to it to your little heart's content. But we can't offer it as a download.
By the way, do you guys already know that it's also on YouTube as well?
What? No, it's
up on YouTube.
It's up on YouTube.
Yes, it is.
What did somebody put up as a video?
No, they. A lot of times they'll just put either collages or no video at all, and they'll put, you know,
oh, just
parody
the audio.
Songs, the
oh,
audio of the parody songs on YouTube.
I was just wondering what the, if they did anything with video.
I think Lightning needs the direct-to-video for that song.
We're talking about
that.
That scares me. I've already storyboarded the video. So
have you?
If Lightning's willing to.
Wow.
I know Miss
Cleo. Is Cleo willing to work pantsless?
We don't really care. She's willing to do anything. She's going to do it, just like she did the song.
I'm being told in my ear, nope.
Going to gang video her? Yeah, what does that work?
Mike has chloroform in the back of the studio at K-Rock that he only pulls out when necessary. It sounds like this may be one of those times.
If we need to, we'll film it like Weekend at Bernie's, where she's just like lifeless and we'll put her...
Oh, that sounds like a great video.
A slipper, a Muslim roofie?
Good band.
Are they different, by the way, Muslim roofies?
All right, let's go to... I don't want to go to Aaron.
Can we
let's,
talk to Rachel? I'm fascinated by this girl. I can't imagine how this can be possible.
Rachel?
Hey.
Hey,
Rachel.
What'd it do?
I am your biggest fan, Dean, I think. I don't know. Maybe there might be a bigger fan out there who's like crazy stalker level, but I don't know. I think I'm your biggest fan.
And by big, you mean fat?
No.
You're fat.
No, as in... well, my size is a medium.
Mm-hmm.
Small waist and bigger hips, but, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah.
And by bigger hips,
Rachel,
you mean like gigantic
ass.
You're
trying to answer their question.
You're a big fat ass. Huge.
Hold on a second. Let's hear what Rachel has to say. What is it? I don't understand. You're my biggest fan. How?
Well, I mean, like, I'm willing to. I was offered to do it. I was offered to do porn, and I'd be willing to dedicate that porn in your name.
Fatty.
Hold on. Leonard Nimoy shooting the video?
What?
You've been offered. You've been made an offer to do a porno movie,
mm-hmm.
and you want to dedicate it to Bean.
Sure, if it makes him happy.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
I don't even understand what that means. I don't know what I have to
she
do with your career choice.
She wants to make
choice.
You happy.
If I had to, I'd call out his name during the whole thing.
Wow.
Well, that's very kind.
So you're attracted to Bean? You have sexual fantasies about Bean?
He's an amazing fellow. He makes me laugh. And if you've ever seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you know, like she has the whole thing of what, you know, really attracted her to Roger Rabbit. And she's like, mm-hmm. he makes me laugh. So.
And that's it? He makes you laugh?
Mm-hmm. All right, Rachel, here's what we'll do.
Have you seen him?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was a vote of confidence. Get Zac Efron in the video and then I'll watch it.
You
all
need
right.
to.
I will try my best for you.
The only way you can make Bean happy, Rachel, is if you grew a penis.
Yeah.
Oh, how dare you.
The only way you can make him happy.
I appreciate the lady.
Unfortunately,
that's
true.
That
might be a strange porno.
Yeah.
Good morning, Fatso.
All right. Thank you for the call. I'm going to come at Rachel like that.
Rachel, you're very, very sweet, and I'm going to take what you said as a compliment, and I thank you for calling. I want to thank all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including actor Rob Corddry. He is one of the stars of W, the new Oliver Stone film opening up today. You can go see that as long as you also promise to go see Sex Drive, starring our friend Seth Green, who stopped by today. And then, of course, tonight at 9 on Playboy TV, don't miss School of Sex with the beautiful Tara Patrick.
Yeah. Monday morning.
Nice voice on that Tara Patrick, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Monday morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show.
Morgan. I'm Monday Morgan.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. I'm sure there'll be a lot of celebrity gossip over the weekend. He'll give us the straight scoop. We're going to talk to a guy named Dracula Dave on Monday show.
Blech. That scares me because I see what you did to us with Sustainable Dave, and now you got a Dracula Dave. What could this guy be about?
Once a month for the rest
I'm
of the
week. I'm Dracula Dave.
Not that Dave.
I have a rat tail.
Not that Dave.
I like to drink blood.
Nope, not that Dave. Not that one. We're going to give you a little taste of perhaps the worst version ever of Fight for Your Right to Party. Somebody has remade that
Wing?
Song.
Has Wing done one?
Wing, no. Worse
that
than
would be awesome. Look, here's the thing, and I'm the guy who loves country music and defends country music, but when country artists try to take rock and particularly rap songs and cover them for their audience, whoo, does that suck. Wait till you hear it.
But at least it's not a good country band. It's a bad one.
They're all bad.
They're horrible.
But Big and Rich are at the top of that bad mountain.
They're all bad.
All right. And Amy Winehouse gets your drugs from Satan.
Back what? Here. Hey, before you hit the song, real quick, Psycho Mike, you got a big event going on at Staples Center tonight. Tell people how they can come out and see you.
Yeah, I'm doing the sumo press for charity.
That's true. Tonight is one of the best events of the year. It is the K-Rock Kings tailgate party. So out at Staples Center, they section off an area inside the Staples Center. It's like a lounge for a K-Rock party. Brian Vasquez will be there spinning music. There'll be cocktails. There'll be food. And then we all go in and watch the Kings game. It is very cool. Still tickets available. And info is at lakings.com/K-Rock.
I wasn't interested to tell you about Brian Vasquez was going to be spinning tunes. Now I'm locked in.
Kevin, are the Hurricanes any good this year? What do we know about them?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Hurricanes are always bad bean. They ruin people's homes. No.
That's talking about
the hockey team.
Team.
How cruel of you to even consider that Hurricanes could be a good thing.
It's a hockey team.
Yes, Super Horror, what do you have for us before we go?
Well, when you're done partying with Mike and I tonight at the tailgate, come on out to the Queen Mary Saturday night at Shipwreck. Because yours truly is hosting the dance party in the boiler room.
What?
Wow. Hosting the dance party?
So I was talking to Lightning. That's right. Because when you think dance party, are they just
out of people to host K-Rock dance now? Is that what's going
My
on?
My cleavage and lipstick are for hire.
And Sunday, you should check out our groundskeeper, Jesus. He will be there for the free t-shirt giveaway at the Verizon Amphitheater.
The best part is you buy a ticket to Shipwreck and you can go all over the place. All the mazes, all the dance parties. You get access to everything.
Do we say no to anything?
Yes, and you get access to me in the boiler room, which is awesome. All right.
Whoa.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do it right in the boiler room. Ben security guard Charles will be hosting the sing-along at
Don't Be Hate.
Huntington Beach.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I smoke a lot of pot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wake and bake.
Roll another one.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
Just like the other one.
Can I buy some pot?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
I need another hit.
The beautiful Cat Corbett up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Metallica, also the new one from The Killers called Human. How about some Nine Inch Nails, The Offspring, and Nirvana?
Okay.
Roll another one.
Does anybody have any drugs?
Just like the other one.
You goddamn dumb stoner.
This one seems to be about
I only think about smoking pot.
I don't have another cent.
You are so stoned, man. You wake and bake every day.
Don't fuck that joint.
Smoke weed every day.
Just pass it around.
Smoke weed.
What did everybody think?
Ah, that stunk!
Worst episode ever.
Excuse me. If you can hear me, okay, I see security is coming, so I just want to say, damn it. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you for your time, and drive safe.
Sometimes I lie awake at night, and I ask, when will it all end? Then a voice comes to me, that says, right after the credits.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.